Boom. Nobody joined in, really.
That was tight.
I was doing this.
I was sniffling.
Somebody, I had a snap.
You didn't hear Mike.
Yeah, it was like the breakup. We all had one thing going.
Always go, someone was doing tss, tss. I didn't know what to do.
So I had that going.
You got no other sound.
I was nailing it.
I think you didn't realize everyone was doing something.
We sounded like it was a real subtle. Smooth. That's why you didn't notice. Song. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, September 19th. We have a conversation with AJ Hawk today. You're going to enjoy it. Hit the music.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. He was a high school All-American, a college All-American. He was All-Pro in the NFL. But the thing that he's most proud of is during his show in Muncie, Indiana, he made a woman in the crowd laugh so hard, she shit her pants. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat McAfee!
Hello, hello. It is Tuesday, September 19th. We thank you so much for listening to us, rocking with us, laughing with us. I look around the room. It's a great group of dudes. At Tactical Digs, how you doing?
Great. How are you, sir?
Good. At Todd McComas, how are you?
Awesome, brother.
Heard you crush this weekend in Marion. That's awesome. I'm happy you did that. You raised some money for a good cause, too, right?
Yes, sir. Attaboy. We did.
Stand-up comedy for a good cause. There's not much better than that. Good for you, at Todd McComas.
Thanks, sir.
At Sean Latham, next to you. How are you doing? $20 chef. What are we cooking tomorrow? Anything good? Anything that we should be looking forward to?
You know, we're going to finally buckle, and everybody's been requesting breakfast, so I think that's the route we're going to go this week.
Yeah, because with all the success the $20 chef has been giving these dudes, I'm making the ladies spend the night. Now, whenever they wake up in the morning, let's make sure it's a five-star resort-type feel. You're going to do that for them.
We're talking some fresh fruits. We're going to maybe get cut up some cantaloupe. I don't know. We're going
to
get wild.
Wow, it's going to be a good morning, thanks to the $20 chef, at Sean Latham. At Nick Morato, how you doing, buddy?
Not great.
I'll tell you what. The allergies, like, you never really understand pollen if you don't have allergies until you see a friend who is allergic to pollen and then just watch him get his dick kicked in immediately.
Face fucked hard all weekend.
Just sniffling, suffering so hard. Dress, you look like it's middle of winter right now. You're having a rough day. Is this your whole life you've been dealing with allergies?
No, past couple years. It just kicked in.
It makes sense, though. This is like kind of the karma.
Sometimes it's like diabetes. Yeah. It doesn't set in until adulthood.
Well, like that whole eye swelling thing that I had, that didn't start happening until I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
Sean sometimes eats fruits and he blows the fuck up.
Out of nowhere, like near death.
Some fish.
Your hormones change.
One time I was running. We were at a show in Austin, Texas, and I was like, I'm going to go for a run, get my head clear. And it was like right in the middle of their allergy season, all these trees spread this shit. And I went for a run, and I came back, and my face was just blown up from that crap.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I'm happy that I haven't hit that stage of life yet, but I do feel sorry for both of you. Nick, you appear to be more miserable than normal, and that is tough to do.
It is very hard to do. Because his norm is miserable.
Very miserable.
And when he gets lower than that, it's kind of hard to watch.
Just like the one thing I ask in life is to be able to breathe. Yeah. And when I can't breathe, then I get really pissed off.
It's not too much to ask.
If you hate Will Smith, that might be a lot.
I mean, can he live literally? Can he live?
At the Jeff Vibbert behind the glass, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, you're talking to the king of allergies right now. I'm allergic to everything. Plants.
Never would have thought that.
Plants, animals, success, I'm allergic to everything.
Oh, my God.
So allergic.
I see you're very healthy right now, so none of those are happening or what?
Well, I went for like 3 years and got shots, like, every week, like 15 shots.
Mm-hmm. Are you serious?
And they still suck, but they're not as sucky as they used to be.
Do you take shots right now still?
No, not anymore. I lost my health insurance, so I can't afford my shots.
So you're just holding on for the ride right now?
Yeah.
Do you get a flu shot? You're definitely a kid who gets flu shots.
No. I don't believe in those.
You walk backwards.
It's such a hustle.
They make you sick. Like, why would you want to do it? You don't feel good for like 2 days
also,
after.
Also, you get paralyzed and you can't walk.
What? Yeah.
There was a cheerleader who got a flu shot, and she ended up she can't walk forward or talk anymore unless she's running, and then she can walk.
Is this dude serious?
Fake news.
He is serious. There was disputes as to whether it was actually real or not, but
it's not.
Right. Well, the important thing is she just never got the flu, though. She can't walk, but she didn't get the flu.
Well, I promise you, either whether it's real or not, I have never gotten a flu shot because of that single
video.
That's
what happens.
Yikes. That's like people that are scared of clowns because of the movie It.
You're telling us you get the flu shot?
No, we were forced to in the NFL because the doctors who were giving to us were the ones giving us our information, and they're the ones who were making money off of it. Yeah. I knew it was a hustle, though. Every time I got a shot, I'd say, my mom says this is a hustle. Go ahead. Give it to
them. They used to make us do it. They make cops do it because they don't want you all to get sick at the same time.
Yeah. My old job, I worked in a hospital system, and it was mandatory. You had to get a flu shot.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's all bullshit, right? Because they're trying to guess which flu you're going to get, and then there's
– bird.
Like all of a sudden out of nowhere, mad cow or pig disease comes, pig flu pops up, swine flu pops up. They're like, yeah, we could have never guessed that one. Well, then what the fuck am I paying you for this shot? I mean, you're supposed to guess it because they're trying to guess what China has, right?
You're right. There's only certain strands that they put in those flu shots.
Yeah, they're testing. They're guessing which flu you're going to get. I've done some research because me and that doctor have not a lot of people have an intimate relationship with their doctor, but this doctor's around the team every day, so I get to know this guy pretty well. And when he's trying to hustle me and my mother, I mean, let's get this going.
If you're over 50, you have a pretty intimate relationship with your doctor.
Hey-o.
Hey-o, they go in a booty hole.
Mm-hmm. And that brings me to our first sponsor, mydoctor.com. It is a fake...
It's an at-home... It is an at-home finger condom you put on that'll sense... Why don't we make that?
You're talking about a finger condom that you do yourself that'll tell you if you have prostate cancer?
Yeah.
Why not?
Why don't we do that?
Get a little condom.
You don't have to do the finger anymore. They just do a blood test now.
Oh. What?
But I can't give blood.
If your doctor is still doing that, listeners at home, he just likes
it. Wait, so I don't...
they get blood out of your butt?
No, he just do a blood test. They can test certain levels within your blood, your screen, and then tell if you have it or not.
Vibs. You get blood out of your butt?
I don't know. I don't know how medical stuff works. I don't have health insurance.
Todd, did you have to get that? You had to get that done, right?
I had it done at it, but it's probably your age. Ooh. I had some kind of issue where they thought, we should check up there. I don't know if they were checking for prostate cancer, but they definitely shoved their finger up there.
Did they wear hard hats? Because that's a cave I'm not trying to get into.
We're going to work.
Great.
Todd, I know, but he's got a cave full of sausage in there.
When I had it done, there was a PA, like a physician's assistant. Yeah. There was a attractive female, and then this Asian guy doctor, and she was there to being trained, and he didn't let her do it. I'm like, she's being trained. She needs to learn how to do this. You should let her do it.
You want a little butt play?
Her hands are much smaller. Todd wanted butt
play. This is a very regular thing for Todd. Butt play.
Plus, diameter of the fingers came into play too.
Yeah,
she has tiny hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would be much more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Little thick, stubby fingers will get you a little opened up.
Yeah, like all the karate that guy does, his fingers are all swollen. Oh.
So many wooden boards he's just been poking through. Yikes.
Maybe he's a carpenter.
Jesus was.
Maybe he slammed his thumb into a hammer a couple times.
Yeah.
Did he build the cross?
Jesus?
That he was on?
They wouldn't have made him do that himself.
No. Like dig your own grave type situation?
Yeah, I don't think. Maybe they did, though. I don't know. The Italians enforced it, right? That's something the Italians would do.
Mm-hmm. I think it just depends on how his branding was going as a carpenter early on before he started really preaching the word.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how big of a marketing base did he have? Like, what was his clientele looking like? Was he doing crosses?
Did he build ships?
No, that was Noah. Did he?
No, it was mostly like closet organization. I think was his specialty.
I think so.
It was like places to put your sandals.
Yeah.
And your
a lot of that.
And your rocks and
your
shit.
Wraps for your head
and your sandals.
A lot of people don't know this, but Jesus was on Angie's List. He was one of the very first customers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, going out of business at Angie's List, but a great, beautiful Indianapolis company that really did well there for a while. Jesus had really a lot of good Yelp reviews too back then.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Tom Simmons is a great bit about Jesus being on the cross. So he's like, do you think the carpenter in him came out when he was up there? He's like, this isn't plum at all. Let's grasp a shit. If there's a girl or guy doctor, you have your choice, and you have to get your finger up there, pick the girl every time. That's a smarter choice. What else is a smarter choice? Dollar Shave Club is a smarter choice.
We powered by his first setup. Did you hear that? He tried to do it.
He made
an entire story about butt play just so he could lead into it, and we powered through it, and now he brought it back. What's that?
Like, I really believe that he had a...
Oh, it did happen, yeah. But I did not get the girl, which I thought, come on, Doc.
And maybe both of you go in there.
Yeah.
Huh?
Team it would have been a good
maybe
time.
A little party here.
It would have been a good time. Dollar Shave Club is a good time, and it's a great shave at a great price. Conveniently delivered right to your door. No more stupid trips to the store to sort through an endless aisle of stupid cheap razors that'll tear up your face or expensive ones with a bunch of techie crap you don't need. Plus, Dollar Shave Club has that sweet Dr. Carver shave butter. It's transparent, so you can see where you're shaving. That's important. No more nicks, which is something we say around this office quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Everything's better without nicking your face. For a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with the tube of their Dr. Carver shave butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5. Do the math. It's awesome. Your first month's box contains a weighty handle, 4 cartridges, and a tube of their shave butter. After your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically at the regular price, and there are no hidden fees and no commitments. Cancel anytime you like. That's the best part. You can only get this offer exclusively at DollarShaveClub.com/America. That's DollarShaveClub.com/America.
Shout out DollarShaveClub.com for sticking around. Go ahead and use their incredible promo code America. Let's talk about America. What's going on with Rocket Man, cuz?
You got me. I was about to drop that. So Trump tweeted out yesterday morning.
Hold on, Nick. This is expensive, and we're going to use it.
Oh, time now for the Jim Kong update on the Pat McAfee Show.
We should add a cash like a
ching like a cash
at the end. Worst investment. That or the basketball goal.
Yikes. Well, I was...
He said you.
Oh, I heard.
The basketball hoop, you guys call it a goal, is interesting.
That is very
we
weird.
We use it on a very regular basis. But mm-hmm. this is like the home of basketball, though. So if they're saying it's what it is, it's what it is. We're probably wrong.
No, it's impossible. There's no way it costs that much. It's impossible.
No, no. It's, they're calling it a basketball goal.
Oh, yeah. No, that's very... I didn't play growing up. Yeah. That's a very...
We use both.
Is that a Midwest thing? We call it
playing hoops, shooting hoops, but then it's a basketball goal, so it's weird. I don't know. We Todd, gotta integrate both.
Todd called it the old peach basket back in the day.
Didn't you and Naismith, you guys originally used to play Naismith. That early, right?
Dude, you guys, I have to find this for you one time. When the IU basketball games used to come on, they had this pregame thing. And it was like back in the day, but it was so racist. Like it was Oscar Robinson as a child, it was supposed to be, and his mom. So he's outside shooting basketball on like an old shitty goal, like he can't afford a real goal, like in the commercial. And then his mom comes out, looks so Aunt Jemima-ish, and she literally, he sits down at the table, and she goes, Oscar, where you been? And he was like, outside shooting baskets? It was the most racist
you?
Stereotypical thing. The I didn't commercial. Make the fucking commercial. This used to air all before every IU basketball game, and an insurance company was the sponsor of it. Like, if you would watch that now, you guys would shit your pants. You'd be like, oh my God, what did they just do? And it used to play before every IU game.
And you were uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, when I see it now, because somebody showed a thing on the internet.
You should hear how we feel. Yeah.
Back then, I was a little kid. Hell, I didn't
Back
know.
Then, it didn't bother me. No,
yeah, it was before my time. So, but
yeah, as a kid. Yeah. Anyways, let's go. I do want to find, if you find that video, I cannot wait to sync it up with
easily
that.
Easily find.
I cannot wait to sync it up with that voiceover right there and make that. That's going to be
shit
incredible.
Your pants.
All right. So, what happened with our boy over there?
Donald Trump tweeted out that I spoke with President Moon of South Korea last night.
Great name, by the way, President Moon.
Asked him how Rocket Man is doing.
Hilarious nickname. Need to make a new song.
Long gas lines forming in North Korea. Too bad.
Too bad. Hey,
too bad.
Hey, just, you know what? We heard some news about some struggles going on up there. Too bad.
Is that where moon sauce comes from? You ever had moon sauce?
No.
No. I'm a busted-ass chef. Never heard of that.
Dude, I don't know. I think it was...
moon sauce?
What's that place in the South Side where they serve chicken late night on the street and they give moon sauce on it? It's this sticky... cummy like syrup. So good.
What?
I'll never get past
what?
It.
What?
You heard me.
You're just blowing dudes on the corner.
Yo, Diggs out here blowing dudes trying to call it moon sauce.
The dude with the cowboy hat. He sells chicken out of his...
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to think what kind of food it is.
Listen, it's $20 for a blow, $25 for the moon sauce.
Next time we go.
It's Thai food? It's not Thai
food. Hey, let me get a side up moon sauce.
No, it's going to be $5 extra.
It's a pita with rangoons and fucking chicken and this moon sauce, and it's fucking phenomenal.
And you think it comes from South Korea president?
Yes. Oh, Kitchen Cambodican is the restaurant name.
Cambodican, that's right.
Somebody Cambodican. Somebody like that.
No free ads.
Are you a Cambodican or a Cambodican?
I thought they only I'm an American. I'm an American. Anything else going on with them?
Yeah, so the UN approved the sanctions, and these sanctions are going to ban any North Korean textile exports and imports of natural gas liquids, caps refined petroleum, crude oil imports. Basically, what that boils down to is going to cost Korea like $800 million in revenue.
They were exporting shit?
Yeah, what are they exporting?
They export to China and pretty much just China.
What do they export?
I just told you.
Oil, all kinds of shit.
Oh, natural gas? I thought that was going in. I thought that got cut off from going in. So what are all the lines for it?
North Korea has a lot of natural resources. Yes.
But they can't get to it, right? They can't get to it. So
we take that some bitch over.
What do we cut off from getting there?
Textiles.
What is that?
It's like goods, like clothing and shit.
Bathroom,
right?
Flooring.
So China's sending them stuff?
Tiles.
Taxed tiles?
Both ways. It's good. They were sending China stuff. China's sending them stuff. China's like, we'll send you this. You send us your textiles.
So what is China sending them?
I don't know.
Peanuts,
anymore.
I think.
Mainly because orange chicken.
Everything's been sanctioned in
because
China.
Because we're cutting everything off
China,
of them,
right? Like, half agrees and half doesn't. They're still on the fence.
So who's
orange
shipping them
and
oil?
Cashews. That's all they're getting.
They sent them P.F. Chang's, General Tso.
I assume China sends them a lot because they send a lot of people a lot of things.
They send us everything. So, like, gas, oil, and, like, stuff like that. Why do they say long gas lines for me? Because we cut off all their gas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And coal was North Korea's biggest export.
I hate that dude.
Who?
Cole.
He's everywhere, and he causes a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. But, boy, he's pretty powerful.
He is.
He's a powerful guy. He a lot of political arguments about old Cole.
Yeah, Sun's a lot more powerful. And it's never ending.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
So you think we need more solar energy resources?
What we need to do is stop going into the planet and start going out.
Oh. Yeah, because one state, 1/50th of our country, relies 100% on that coal. So let's just put them completely out of business and say, fuck West Virginia. And then let's just start building these things for like towns like Pittsburgh, who is cloudy for 7 months. And let's make them rely on hopefully a cloud not showing up.
It's like getting DirecTV in a place where it rains constantly. Like you can't get DirecTV if you live in Seattle.
You know what, though? There's some things about DirecTV.
We should outsource some stuff.
No, what I'm saying is just because one little area needs a few extra jobs and they can just get solar jobs, let's have the whole planet for West Virginia.
Oh, the whole planet is fucked because of West Virginia.
No, I'm saying, but we need to go to solar and stop digging in the planet.
It is pretty wild, though. These storms are pretty eye.
What about wind?
Wind, too. Wind, solar, I mean... It's a you know
I like the wind. I like the windmills.
Yeah, they do really well. I think too.
They look really cool.
What about water
behind the interstate?
75% of the earth, water. We'll use that.
Why don't we use the water?
There's a lot of it.
It's already there.
And there's
don't think we should be. Here's the deal I would make with the government. Like, all right, you can put windmills up, but as long as there's a putt-putt course right in front of it.
Because that's always the best hole.
If it's like hole 18 every time, I'm in.
It's always the best hole is the windmill hole.
Tesla's got a semi truck coming out. They might change the shipping industry.
And wait, they're digging into the earth, right? Your guy is digging into the ground to build a tunnel, right?
The Hyperloop.
And I read some of his tweets last night about artificial intelligence starting World War III. He hiked.
Again, he's back on that.
And
it's 100% true.
And Elon Musk, I don't think he's wrong a lot.
Yeah, you've seen iRobot. Great movie. That's what happens.
I haven't seen iRobot. If Will Smith's in it, though, I love it. Is Will Smith in it?
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Will Smith's in it?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I'm sick. Come on.
Don't you think maybe if you like came around, the universe wouldn't punish you with this pollen thing?
Mm-hmm. This is exactly what's happening.
Yo, mic check, mic check. Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, here you go.
Nah, he over here.
He's over here.
Yeah, I heard he got that hot new thing.
Got that hot new thing.
Let's get it going. Hey! Hey!
Nick. Turn around and Nick.
Hey, this is good radio, guys. This is good stuff here.
I think it's only got 14 million plays.
It's only a matter of time before he comes on the show for real.
Platinum.
When Will Smith comes on here, by the way, cannot wait.
Mm. Yeah, me neither. I've been waiting to give him a piece of my mind.
What would you say to Will Smith first things first?
You wouldn't. You wouldn't.
Please, Diggs. I'd give that man a piece of my mind. I'd tell him, hey, man, why don't you make something that's actually entertaining now instead of just doing the same shit over and over? You're saying recycled garbage.
Wow.
You wouldn't.
Wow.
I would.
How many million?
I absolutely
would. 100 million, 8 straight movies? What?
Yeah, they were so good, too.
If Will Smith came in here, he'd be like,
Yo, let me take you to lunch. I know a place with great moon sauce.
You tried to do that with John Mayer a couple weeks ago. It didn't turn out.
Oh, I got some moon sauce for him.
Anything else going on in the world, Nick?
A trillion-ton iceberg twice the size of London is adrift at sea after breaking off from Antarctica.
Not that's good. Not that's good. That cold stuff. That's that cold stuff, Sean.
What's it going to run into? A little greenhouse gas effect going on there, boys. All that burning coal and fucking fossil fuels that we just got to keep on doing, not just causing wars. No one's fighting over the sun.
This is Cali coming straight out of Sean's blood.
Do you think the whole thing about Syria is about? It's about fucking natural gases getting in and out of Syria and the fucking... Russia has their plan, and we have our plan.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, it's all the whole thing now is that we gave up our territory in Syria, which is the oil, right? In the previous regime, we gave it up, and Russia came in and swooped it, and now we're trying to make a deal again. That's what happened.
Well, if we stop using it, we don't have to worry about it. They can go fucking do it all they want.
Yeah, I like that. And if we would just maybe make up, like, flying cars, that would be great, too.
They're called helicopters, and flying cars are drones. They're minimum 30 years maximum before wheels are a fucking... thought of the past.
We'll have land speeders like in Star Wars.
I hope we get those fucking floating skateboards.
Yes. Yeah.
Those floating skateboards, yes. That Michael J. Fox was...
The original hoverboard.
Yo, we put out a video the other day on all of our social medias of some dude just hovering around.
Yeah, that guy was awesome.
The flyboard, yeah.
Thank you.
Who is that guy?
Those are only like $4,000, I think.
What is he using in there?
He's the Green Goblin. It's called a flyboard.
Yeah, but what's in there?
Magic?
The Green Goblin juice?
I don't know. I didn't look into
how his was CGI, propelled. Though.
Who?
Yeah, they end up releasing. They CGI'd the fuck out of it. Mm. But the real thing exists.
James Franklin.
And I wanted a motorcycle one, like in the Return of the Jedi movie.
Which is all. I mean, look at what happened in the last 100 years when we figured out how to fly. It's barely 100 years for flight, and we're fucking wacko on Mars already.
Well, we're less than 20 years into the internet, and look what we're doing now. I mean, the technology advance is pretty insane that's happening right now in the world. I mean, the internet's really...
You can do so many good things.
Buying tickets
is so much easier now. Remember when you used to go back in the day?
It was so confusing.
You'd have to drive to some box office somewhere.
Get in line.
Buy the ticket, and then come back the next week. Before the aliens. And if you lost it, you were just screwed.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you thought you were going to it? No.
Nope.
Lost it. Loser.
But there's a simpler way now, thanks to the internet and the people who make their living on the internet, like SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to your favorite team's games. Whether you're spending the day at the ballpark searching for the perfect gift or hunting down a last-minute deal, SeatGeek helps you find the best deals at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Listen, when it comes to sports, nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I have found to shop for tickets. I just bought two tickets for the Colts-Browns games for two friends of mine.
What?
Yeah, because they work at the comedy club. We have a draw every year, Christmas party, and I put up Colts tickets, thinking you would be playing then, and now you're not, and the team's terrible, but good news for me.
The Colts have not won since I retired.
That's true. Mm.
Robert Mathis, same thing. Have not won since me and Robert Mathis retired. I don't know where our MVP trophy is, but it needs to be in the vicinity. It
should be.
Yeah, at least a thought.
The only good thing that happened was I'm locked into buying tickets for these two ladies, and now the tickets are way cheaper because you guys aren't playing.
And they're great tickets, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so easy. I was able to do them during the filming of Behind the Badge Donut Showcase. There's on Barstool Heartland's Twitter and Facebook feed every Tuesday morning. At 7 a.m. That's how easy it is. Save yourself time and money. Buy your concert, comedy, theater, and sporting event tickets on SeatGeek. Our listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code PAT. It's that easy for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. The promo code is PAT. That's P as in Persian, A as in apple fritter, T as in toasted coconut. Mm. These are all types of donuts you can see me try on the Behind the Badge Donut Showcase that airs on Barstool's Twitter and Facebook feed every Tuesday morning at 7. Download the SeatGeek app and use the promo code PAT today.
Respect. That's pretty impressive.
It's like a dream within inside a dream.
Like, I don't know what.
That's Inception, bitch.
Yeah, that was pretty good. A little mind-blowing situation. The SeatGeek app is incredible, though.
I love it so much.
I didn't like going to live things. Now I love. I go to plays. I go to concerts. I love going out and experiencing and watching people perform at a high level. And SeatGeek just does it in the best fashion. It's not a catfish. You're getting the tickets that you want. Here we go. We're off and running.
Get on there. Two taps, cuz.
Boom, boom.
Ticket.
I mean, your lady makes one quick comment about seeing what she'd like to see. You swoop in, you check out SeatGeek, bang, there's tickets under the event. Before you even know it, you're taking her there. You're saving the day.
Oh, my God. I want to watch a play sometime. Okay, Book of Mormon, SeatGeek. Boom. Bang. Here you go. Now you're not only watching the greatest Broadway show in the history, you're going to laugh, and you're a hero.
It's the greatest single thing I've ever been to in my life. When you took me to see that, I was like, this is the greatest day of my life. It's the greatest 2 hours it's ever.
But there's a lot of really good shows. You guys should get out to it. And I think that's the big thing that SeatGeek should be promoting more is these are stories and memories that you're going to go to. Mm-hmm. SeatGeek does that for you. They take care of things. It's a really good company.
Yeah.
I wish I could have watched this one guy play foosball from the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a really good player. Mm-hmm. Really good player. And now he is a media, like, superstar. Mm-hmm. Let's head to the phone. Mr. Hawk Daddy. Hey, listen, man. Just because they have to figure out technology doesn't mean you need to ask if I'm okay. All right?
Just want to make sure, man. I saw Lawrence Timmons went AWOL. I thought you might have taken off with him. You see that?
No. What happened?
He went with it. They were in LA, I guess. He's on the Dolphins now. He's a starter, and he just was not even. I guess he didn't show up. And the coach after the game said, "Oh, I'm not prepared to talk about like what happened or where he is or what's going on." And then I guess it just came out they filed a missing persons report. They found him at the airport in LA, trying to go back to wherever the hell his kid is. I don't know.
What? What? So like team meeting night before he's there.
Yep, they went to bed check. He wasn't there, so they went. They were looking all over for him. They didn't find him till like the next morning at the airport. Allegedly,
how does this happen? No, he had to be on. He had to go meet up with somebody and get on something, right?
Supposedly, the only thing I just saw was that they found him at a boarding terminal at LAX, and he had been talking to his kid's mom, and he was missing his kid or something, and he wanted to come visit.
What a PR spin. That's such bullshit.
Exactly.
He misses the Steelers is what he misses.
That is such bullshit.
He's a good – like he was. It's not like he was a scrub. He's a starter, like a legit player, and all of a sudden the day before the game, he just – see ya.
Have you ever been a part of something like that?
No, hell no. What do you – have you?
Yeah. No.
Who?
In college, we had a kid just – he went missing for a week of bowl practice, starter for us, and then he missed the game. Just one about it, and nobody even asked a single question, and it was just like moved along. It was before social media, though. I think it would have been a much bigger deal on social media. Kid just disappeared, though.
So where is he? What happened?
Well, he came back. He ended up doing okay, but he went on a he tripped pretty bad. He went on a bad trip and disappeared for a little bit. They said he got something that was laced with something, and he lost his mind for a little bit.
That spice, man.
I smoked that spice. I told you that last week. I didn't lose my mind, though. I felt pretty good about it.
Oh, I've seen some guys call the cops on themselves, freak out, bro.
Hey, now listen, it's not real until they cut off their own dick. Hey, I'm going to get into the intro. You ready?
No, I'm not.
From Kettering, Ohio.
No, Centerville.
From Centerville, Ohio. Listen, I know the Elks. I know the Centerville Elks.
Yeah, stop reading. You're reading Wikipedia, I'm guessing. I guess technically I was born in a hospital in Kettering, but I'm from Centerville, Ohio. So put some respect on that.
Okay. He came into the world in Kettering, Ohio. He grew up in Centerville. He was an elk, the black and gold. Then he went on to be a legend at Ohio State. He wore number 47. They retired the number 47 while he was in school. He continued to wear number 47. He's bigger than the program. He was an animal. He played for the Green Bay Packers. Won a Super Bowl. He played for the Cincinnati Bengals. Did not get arrested. He hosts a show called The Hawk Cast. He does an MMA show. He's on the Laces Out show that I co-host every Monday right here on the Barstool Sports Network. He's handsome. He has four kids with Brady Quinn's sister, AJ Hawk. AJ.
Thank you for the claps in the background as well. But, yeah, Pat, thank you. Good to join you. It's been a while. It's been 7 or 8 hours since I've spoken with you, so it's good to join you. I love it. I love it here.
Is it too much of me right now in your life? Too much of me?
You know, you can't get too much of Pat. And, Pat, something that I haven't even addressed with you that I respect, and you've kind of changed the way I view speaking on the phone because you're a real big FaceTime guy.
Yep.
I don't know if that's always been your gig, but yep. – I've been the classic text guy, and I probably haven't spoken on the phone for more than 45 seconds in the last 10 years. And now I honestly, I found myself like telling my wife, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start FaceTiming some of my like my buddies that I need to stay in touch with because I think it's good to see each other.
It is. It is. Like 80% of communication is nonverbal. And if you can just see somebody, I mean, Steve Jobs went out there and had it. He had a dream. You know, there's a lot of dreams that were had by people. And Steve Jobs put together in process a way for you to see people and walk and talk from complete opposite ends of the earth. You might as well use it. It's nice to see people every once in a while. AJ?
No, you're right. For real, Pat, you honestly have changed. You've changed how I view the phone now. And I'm coming back to it now. So I think I appreciate you. It was basically FaceTime was something to see your kids when you're not in the same city as them. And now I'm trying to, I don't know. I've really been texting my buddies, and I have some buddies that listen to Laces Out, and they love you, man. I know you know that. You don't need anyone to pump you up anymore, but they do. Going. They love your that some guys can actually have real conversations, I guess, and not just the cliched garbage that is usually happening on the TV and terrestrial radio.
I enjoy the fact that you are a former player who is really fucking good, who is in the media world, who isn't just a cliche monster. I think that's why I've enjoyed you so much. Like, you're just not a because it seems as if every guy falls in the path or the track that they have to go. PC, everything they say has to be, like, machine-generated almost, and it's just cliche, cliche, cliche. And, I mean, you drank a beer at Ohio State. You had a good time. You were on the Barstool Sports tailgate show that didn't even have the internet, and it was an internet show, and you just rolled with the punches. It's been awesome chatting with you. Let's talk about this, though. So you're from Centerville, and Ohio is a diehard football state, one of the most diehard football states on earth probably. And were you a linebacker? Were you the most athletic guy? Were you a quarterback? What was your progression in the football world?
I grew up playing football, baseball, and basketball, and I think everybody should. That definitely teaches you body control, how to one thing, it teaches you how to fall, how to avoid injury just by having some awareness, I think, and body awareness. But, I always played – I was always tailback slash linebacker, and I loved playing running back, but – I think you would agree, Pat. There wasn't a whole lot of scholarship offers for me to play tailback. They wanted me to play fullback possibly, but I was not going to go be the future John Kuhn in the NFL or in college football. So linebacker was where I got my scholarship. But I played both ways in high school. Tailback, running back. Played. I was always like the backup quarterback as well. So I actually my last I think four games my senior year I started at quarterback.
So you played quarterback. They wanted you to play fullback because you're a white guy and you're a grinder. That's just the classic all-stud. They wanted you to be all-stud. I respect that. How many scholarship offers did you have coming out of high school?
Not a whole lot. I was probably going to go to a MAC school if Ohio State didn't offer me. So I have two older brothers. My middle brother was a quarterback. Called him the golden boy growing up. He was kind of the guy in the spotlight, I guess. He's a stud athlete as well. He went to Miami of Ohio as a quarterback the same time, same recruiting class as Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, it's going to be tough to get on the field. Golden boy. Going to be tough to get on the field there, golden boy.
Oh, yeah. He realized that. He actually played his freshman year and Ben redshirted. And then Ben came and Ben became Ben. They put my brother at slot receiver and would run a little reverses and other stuff. But he ended up transferring to the Ohio University Bobcats and started there at quarterback for a few years. Good, so it's you come in with Ben. I've known Ben forever now because of my brother. He used to room with Ben when he was at Miami. And I don't know if you've ever been Miami of Ohio, Pat, but I think you would really do well there.
Name drop. Just friends with Ben Roethlisberger. No big deal. You know, Ben Roethlisberger, he did it at the Golden Boy Hawk, and he also did it to Tommy Maddox. I don't know if you knew that. Ben Roethlisberger came in and just cucked his job, too. That's what Ben does. Ben is just a tall, gigantic human who just cucks jobs. It's a good gig. He's good at football.
AJ, great. You ever been to a Halloween at Miami, Ohio? Or not at Miami, Ohio?
At OU. At Ohio U. Yes, I have. Oh, I've been there. When I was in college, Ohio U was only, an hour and a hour drive maybe from Columbus. And after my junior year, we went to Halloween. We played a home game, and Bobby Carpenter and I got in the car with my other buddy, Nick Mangold, who was my roommate, and drove to OU for Halloween. It's a little crazy there. Have you guys been?
Yeah, I have. I've been to a few OU Halloween.
What did you dress up as?
I think that year we were in the Top Gun theme. That's still my favorite movie of all time. So I don't know if I was Maverick or Goose. I don't know what I was exactly. But we were always some form of a Top Gun character.
He kind of looks like Iceman. You kind of look like Iceman, AJ.
Well, I'll take that as the ultimate compliment.
As you should.
You were so sincere with that. I watched Top Gun for the first time 2 weeks ago. So,
all right, well, that's why I hate you, Pat.
So you dressed up as Top Gun. You went to Ohio University. Your brother went to Miami of Ohio. You went to Ohio State and became a monster. Did you start there your freshman year? Or did you get redshirted?
I did not. I started a few games late in the year when the guy in front of me, C. Grant, got hurt. But no, I played right away on special teams. I'm sure you would love that. Yeah, I played like it sparingly and would get in and mop up time and try to get a few shots on people. But then I started a few games late in the year, and then we went on to win it all that year as a freshman. And I thought, oh, this is great. Let's just win the national title every single year. And we never got back.
Yeah, we went to the Super Bowl my rookie year. We were undefeated, and then 2 years later we almost went completely defeated. But how was campus? Did you have a good time on campus at Ohio State? Because I was on that campus. And I walked around, and it was, I believe the term is lit. People were having a good time. Did you enjoy yourself at Ohio State? Did players get taken care of in a incredible manner at bars and such?
Yeah, we did. There was a few hot spots that we could go to, especially before before you got your official license and we turned 21. We had some good spots we could hang out. Now it's a lot different. It's like most campuses, I think it's a lot more corporate. It's like BW3 on every corner. There's not like the many local like watering hole old school college bars as much. I don't know where kids now hang out. I don't go down there. I'm 33 years old. There's no business for me on campus being the old guy that tries to think he's cool buying shots for 19-year-olds. So that's not my gig anymore. But yeah, we had a great time. Are you kidding me? I was in a perfect like the window to where Facebook was around, Twitter was not, and like the social media stuff was not as like instant, so you could actually go out and have a good time and you wouldn't have to worry about like 1,000 people reporting on your whereabouts.
Yeah, and I bet you used the poke button at a ridiculous fashion, AJ.
I did not even use Facebook, bro.
Yeah, right. What was your favorite drink?
Oh man, I went through a lot of different
I went through a rum and coke phase like my freshman year, I think, because it's like easy to drink, and now if I'd smell it, I had a rough night with it. It changed, and then I went into like the vodka sprites just because I thought I was healthy there, because it's supposed to be healthier than I guess rum and coke, and then now I'm just a beer guy.
Yeah, so I've had a similar transition, I guess. When I was in college, no joke, I drank Bacardi O in an orange Gatorade. So I would just take as many orange Gatorade bottles from the facility as I could.
Good move.
And then after the games, we had a house right, great spot. I should have showed you where it was. It wasn't too far from where we were at the Barstool tailgate, but I would pour half or three quarters of it out and then fill up the orange Gatorade with Bacardi O. And it's just absolutely disgusting, actually, when you think about it now. But that was my deal for probably my whole college time.
But there's electrolytes in there, so you're taking care of you. You know, yeah, you're looking out for you in there.
I'm rehydrating while I'm dehydrating.
Yikes, Jesus! Now, you guys won how many national championships when you were there? Just one.
Just one.
Just one national championship. Yeah, that was your rookie year. Who were some guys that were on that team that I would remember?
Okay, so my recruiting class was I don't know if you remember a guy named Maurice Clarette. Maurice Clarette. Do you remember him?
Yeah, absolutely. He got into some shit there for a little bit. Now he's on the other side. Now he's giving motivational speeches. Proud of him. Good for him. You still friends with him?
Good for you. Good for you knowing Maurice. Yeah, I actually had him on my podcast maybe a year or two ago. He's doing well. He served about 3 years in prison, but he came back a better man. He's rehabilitated, and now he does. He gives motivational speeches. He's a big workout dude. He lives in Ohio. So Maurice Clarette, our quarterback when we won it all was Craig Krenzel.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Craig lives about a minute from me now, but he was 2 years older. But then my draft class was Troy Smith, or my recruiting class. Troy was in my class, but he redshirted. He won the Heisman when I was a rookie in the NFL. I don't know, Ted Ginn, Santonio Holmes, they're all my age.
Those guys.
Yeah, and the seniors when I was a freshman, I don't know if you remember. Well, you would know one guy, Will Smith, who RIP. You remember Will?
Not the actor. You know, Will Smith's got that said, Will Smith has got a he's got a new song out, by the way.
I've heard.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm more of a fan of Jaden. I think Jaden's really, he's the next Kanye.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. Yikes. Out of control. Anyway, so the rest in peace, Will Smith. He was part of your draft class. Is that what you said?
No, he was. I played 2 years with Will.
How many $1,000 handshakes did you get at Ohio State?
Zero. That's the problem. I had guys all around me getting in trouble and getting suspended for different things, and I always wondered, like, where do they come from? Like, where are these guys that are hooking them up with cars or money, whatever it may be? I definitely wasn't a big enough recruit coming in to get anything offered. But even when I was at school, I think those guys that get offered money or whatever it may be with the shady characters that try to take care of them, I think they knew, they saw, like, okay, this guy is the youngest of three boys. Both of his parents seem to be really into his life. I think they thought, like, I may snitch on him if they offered me anything because I was such a corporate, like, just run, like, meathead.
Classic white guy. Classic meathead white guy here from a family of football players. We cannot even think about giving this guy bonus money. He will rat on us immediately. That's what you don't think they go for those types of guys?
Looking back, that's the only thing I can think of because that's always a question. People, the old joke, oh, you take a pay cut when you went to the NFL? Okay, bud, good one. Never heard that before. But
no, like, I'm making millions right now. If boosters are just paying every college kid millions of dollars, let's go ahead and talk about that too. These fucking boosters need to keep giving that money if you're getting that in college, by the way. So you never got it, huh?
I've never seen it, even though guys that I know on my team, I would, oh, hey, this guy's suspended for two games or whatever for taking a rental car or something stupid like that. But they never hung around me. I was kind of in my little college bubble, I think, honestly. Who'd you hang out with?
Mangold?
Yeah, I lived with Nick for 4 years.
How is it? He seems like a fucking character, that guy.
Nick's awesome. You should have him on here. Nick is like, he's really, really smart. He's one of those really fun, goofy, but like super intellect guys where he was an architect, I think architecture major his freshman year. And I used to have to like drive him to his architecture labs and at 10 o'clock at night and he would work all night on all of these drawings and different things. And he ended up had to drop the major because his class load was just way too much. But Nick is awesome. He's a really, really fun dude. And we had a great time. Like I said, I lived with him my freshman year. They make you live in the dorm. And then we found a house on campus, and we lived together our whole time.
Great beard. Not just an average one.
Nick is basically from Kettering. Well, he lived in Centerville, but he went to the Catholic school. I went to the public. So he went to school in Kettering.
So you and Nick Mangold are like best friends? Were you and his – like you guys are still friends, or you guys hate each other after living with each other?
No, we're still good. I played with Nick. I was on his team like in sixth grade growing up, and then I was Nick's best man. Gave a solid best man speech, I think.
Are they still together?
Oh, yeah, they're still together. They have three kids now. He's doing well.
AQ Shipley, you know AQ?
Yeah.
I talked to him about you coming on this show today, and I said, what was AJ Hawk like? And he said, he was an incredible football player. And AQ doesn't say that about a lot of people. He's a hater at heart.
Is he really?
Yeah. Okay. Well,
thank you, AQ. I appreciate you.
AQ just enjoys, I think, talking shit about people. I think he's a very respectful guy, but I think for him to say incredible football player, that's a big honor from AQ Shipley. I was the best man at his wedding, and they have since got divorced. So,
how was your speech? Was it all right?
I don't know how to spell phenomenal, but I know how it feels. And that speech certainly felt phenomenal. You know what I mean?
You know, I'll give you a little tip. So my brother actually told me this because I've given a couple of them at least, I think, now.
Wow.
But he has a lot of friends. My older brother got married after me. I got married young. And he was like, hey, let the bridesmaid go first. And so she goes first. And we all know, like, a lot of times
– bomb.
Girls, they read. You can't pull a piece of paper out. No. You know, Pat, you do stand up.
Yep. Like, yep, they're gonna bomb. The bridesmaid, the maid of honor, always bombs. Always, because they get too emotional.
Believe me, I'm an emotional dude too. For real, I really every kid I have, it's like I cry at everything. I feel like, but I'm not scared of it. But when I give best man speeches, I do not cry. That's one of the few things I can get through. But so you let her go first. And then my brother taught me this little trick because he does a lot of public speaking. He actually has his own podcast on this business stuff that's really, really good. But
you're just like, pubbing everything right now. It's absurd right now how corporate you are. This is why the boosters wouldn't give you any fucking money.
You're right. It's called the Learning Leader Show, actually, what my brother has. It's legit, man. He has a full-time gig and he has five kids. So
that's awesome.
I don't know how he does it, but he's like, just pump her up and say something good about her before you start your speech. So she gets done. I like give my little brother, my brother, the wink, and I was like, "Hey guys, Can we just give another round of applause for Cindy? That was amazing. I don't know how I'm going to follow this. This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so everyone starts clapping. You get them on your side. Oh, everyone feels good. And then, bam, right into my material.
Always be the good guy, AJ. You can always be the good guy in every situation. And that's being the good guy. You're the cheerleader for the person who just bombed.
So. She was actually, honestly, to her credit, she was actually good. She was pretty solid. But I've seen a lot of disasters from the maid of honor.
Hey, you know, football season is here. You know that, AJ?
I have a feeling where this is going, Pat.
Where do you think we're headed, bub?
I don't know, but I'm not doing your ad read for you. You know how
football season is here, and for all you bettors out there, you need to download the free sports app, Sports Action app, right now. It's the best app for sports bettors, and it's not even close. This is my first season of betting on sports. Believe it or not, I did not Pete Rose it during my career. I didn't even come close to it because there's so many goddamn signs all over the locker room. Like, is it worth it? Like, do you want your entire legendary career just ruined immediately because you want to lose $500 on a team? Is it worth it? That's what they say to you.
Are they talking about having kids or are they talking about betting?
AJ's got 15 of them, but they're talking about sports betting. So I never got to bet. And this is my first season betting. And just like everyone else at Barstool, I'll be using Sports Action to track my bets, follow in-game live lines, check all of the line moves, and see where the public money is going. That's what you want to know. You want to know what's everybody else doing? Huh? Because the house is going to win. So if everybody else is doing something, maybe, just throwing this out there, bat from the other side of the plate. It's basically like ESPN for sports bettors if ESPN didn't suck. Once again, they wrote that. That is their company saying that. So if you respect a company just firing at ESPN, you got to respect this company. Mm-hmm. Got to download the app. Diggs, you've been using Sports Action for a long time.
Years.
What do you think about it?
Great. Good. A lot of green dots.
A lot of green dots. That means you're winning. Degenerate Diggs, the Italian in the room. Go to sportsaction.io or search the App Store for Sports Action right now to download it for free. That's sportsaction.io. It's really annoying to try to remember every single bet, especially when you're betting on all the games, right? Especially if you're a Nostradamus like me. You want to pick all the games. By the way, my Barstool tailgate show record, I think I'm 7-1 in picking games. Just a little heads up. Just AJ Hawk won, I think, 2-2 the first week. I won 3-1. No big deal. Don't worry about it.
Mine was, if it's not on the internet, it didn't happen, bud.
We didn't have the internet for the show, but it is currently on the internet, so it did happen. Sports Action is going to have team betting previews for every NFL and college football team, so get it right now. You can also get a one-week free trial of Sports Action Pro subscription, which has bonus features like parlay tracking and premium betting trends. Trust me, you need this app for the football season. Download the free Sports Action app for iOS or Android right now at sportsaction.io. Thank you, Sports Action, for sticking around. That's fantastic. AJ, you go to the Green Bay Packers. And you loved or hated Green Bay, like the town?
I loved it. And I mean, during football season, honestly, it's one of the best places there is.
Where did you live? Appleton?
No one lives in Appleton. That's like 30 minutes away. I had multiple different places we rented.
It's the only place there's a hotel, just for future rap. We stayed in a hotel in Appleton. So that's what the only town I know is Appleton. That's all I know.
Yeah, no, it's I lived like never more than 10 minutes from the stadium.
First guy in, last one out.
Never, ever would I be last one out. First one in, yes, I could do that. But last one out, that dude is wasting so much time and hates his kids and hates his wife.
Speaking of kids and wives, you have how many wives?
Currently one.
It's fantastic. I'm happy you've got down. But you, the biggest moment I remember of the AJ Hawk college career, although you were incredible, was the face-off with Brady Quinn. And your lady had the split jersey on. Do you recall?
Correct.
You obviously recall this.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean,
what was the lead up to that show, to that game, though? Was she like really stressing on what to do? Like, how was there any bitterness in the end? Like, you and Brady Quinn get along? Like, what is the deal here? What is the fun? Yeah.
So, before that game, it's funny how it all worked out, but. My wife wore this split jersey, this half and half deal, and she had no. We were so naive and young and stupid. We had no clue like what was going to happen, and no one thought they would show her at all. And Brett Musburger would mention it, but so we went into that game. I'd only been with her for 3 months at the time, really 3.5 months, and we get matched up with them in the Fiesta Bowl, and I met Brady for the first time. 3 weeks before that game, I didn't know Brady. Even he grew up in Ohio, but I never met him personally.
He's an attractive son of a bitch. That guy, he's a good looking dude. I mean,
yeah, he lives in Florida. He just moved. His family was here for the week because of the hurricane, and he was doing the Ohio State game for Fox. But yeah, man, I don't even know where this guy came from, and he like sent my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, that jersey, and she's like, okay, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I feel bad if I don't wear it. He spent the time to make it, and all this happened, and then bam, she showed, and she does not want any spotlight. She doesn't like any of that. And it's funny how it worked out. Now I joke about it, even with her, that we were together for like 3 months, and I knew I was getting engaged to her probably 2 months after that. Like, I knew she was the one right away, and I was like, man, if she was just a fling, there's no chance I would let her wear that jersey.
Yeah, yeah, that's a yeah, that's a life. I was about to say Musburger put some real pressure on you there. If that was only 3 months in, I didn't know that. I thought it was like a couple year thing. This is a brand new relationship that they're just putting on TV. Like, hey, AJ, you want to still have that nice, clean image? Huh? Let's not fuck this one up. That's what they said to you,
basically. And we didn't give it much thought at all, just because we, like I said, we were really naive. But you're right. That would be horrible. Like, if I broke up with her like a week later, and people would still remember, hey, are you with that girl? I'm like, no, we've been broken up 15 years. Like, that would just be awful.
You have 4 kids now. That's so many kids. How many kids do you want? 40. What are you doing?
Nah, 4 might be it. I don't know. We're seeing. I don't know. I'm probably gonna get snipped here pretty quick, pretty soon.
Dude, if your kids are anything like Cromartie, if your semen is anything like Cromartie semen, doesn't matter.
Yeah, we were this 4th one. We were planning on waiting a little bit longer to before we had our 4th. They're like 16, 18 months apart, our final 2. And I don't know, man. I told her. I told her, like, hey, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. And she knew it. Like, bam.
How about that?
So I was like, I cannot control this. Like, I'm just letting you know, this is science. It's going to happen. If you know what we're about to partake in, you will be pregnant tonight.
Aaron Rodgers is a cool dude.
He's a great dude, man. He's awesome. Aaron's really funny, man. He really is. He's I think if you've paid attention to him as well over these last couple years, he's not as guarded. He doesn't care as much, I think, he's never cared what people say, but I think he's always been kind of guarded, which he should be, because he's on a different stratosphere when it comes to the attention he gets. But he doesn't care as much. He's very willing to have a good time in public, and he's not trying to hide anything, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of that. Normally there's I like the fact that he does hilarious things on a very regular basis, though. Like that mustache, he knows is hilarious, and he knows it's going to garner attention, and he it's like a perfect mustache. He knows it. Like, I enjoy the purple crush thing that he drank after beating the Vikings. Like, I enjoy that he gets in the background of all the captain's photos. Like, I just enjoy – I feel like that's an enjoyable person to have as a leader of your team.
No, yeah. Believe me, that whole team, it runs through Aaron. And Mike McCarthy does a great job, the head coach. But you know who the boss is, but he's not that crazy, over-the-top guy. Aaron is not to where – he's going to go crazy on guys in front of the media, like when the media is at practice or on the sideline of a game. He'll let people know for sure when they don't do things right, if it's a receiver, whoever it may be. But he's never going to try to like embarrass somebody and do it for the cameras. That's what I respect. And a lot of guys will do that stuff just for the camera, and Aaron's never been that guy.
Oh, who are some guys that do it just for the camera, AJ?
There's a punter in Indy. Other than that, I don't know. I can't really think of any more. That guy always stuck out to me.
Great. That was incredible. You're right. Go ahead, Diggs.
AJ, you said you were too old to be on campus, but I watched the game this weekend, Ohio State, and I'm pretty sure JT Barrett's 35, 37. He's been in college for 12 years and looks like he's running like he's 40.
He has. It's felt like he has been the starting quarterback for 10 years now. It really does.
He's got a bad gait now, too. He's got a bad gait.
Yeah, he is running slow.
Well, he's got a knee brace on. I think he's had some a knee issue. He broke a leg a couple years ago, or a foot, something. So it is crazy. He sets all these crazy records at Ohio State as a quarterback, and now like in the whole Big Ten, he has more touchdown passes than anybody. He just surpassed Drew Brees in this last game for touchdown passes. So
because he's been there for 12 years.
I know. It's like a weird – it is a weird –
He said two
like
other quarterbacks go to the NFL in between his career.
He what?
He's had two other NFL quarterbacks go in between his career, right? Braxton and Cardell?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But that's the thing now with – college football, you're not like whatever records or if they want to, if people do care about records, which I don't, it's going to be weird because if you're who they thought you are when they recruited you, you're going to be there 3 years. You're going to leave early. No one's staying. No one goes to college really now, it seems like, to have like this great standing college legacy. It's not really about that. It's just it's 100% what school can get me to the league the fastest in the highest draft pick or who can put me in position for that. And whether you like it or not, that's just how it is, and that's how coaches recruit.
Man, did you think you were going to leave after 3 years?
No, I was actually in – I turned 21 shortly after – our bowl game my junior year, and I went to Vegas with like 15 guys, and someone like called or texted me.
And you weren't getting $100, $1,000 hand? You're going to Vegas? What?
No, that's why Vegas sucked. I rode middle seat Southwest with my brother. And so legit though, like someone was calling or texting me at the time asking me like, do you want to say something about you're coming back to school? I was like, what are you talking? What happened? Like, it never crossed my mind that I was ever going to leave early, and I'm glad I didn't. But yeah, I never thought about the. I always wanted to go to the league, but I never thought about when I was at Ohio State. I think that's a good thing about being kind of naive and young and stupid, that I never really thought 2 minutes ahead. I never did.
Yeah, I enjoy the being dumb all the time too. Like, it's really nice for me. It gets me out of a lot. People don't expect much. It's pretty good.
You got to set the bar low, man. That's you can always, what is it, under promise, over deliver?
Oh, look at you with a cliche there. Be where your feet are, AJ. Be where your feet are.
What's that mean?
I don't know. That was Chuck Pagano's go-to, though.
Be in the moment. Live in the moment.
That's yeah, right here. Be where your feet are. Okay?
I'm right here waiting for your next FaceTime call.
Don't go to any distractions. Be where your feet are.
First off, I know this is your podcast, but I love your Chuck Pagano press conference. And then you guys as well. You guys throw questions at him. I don't know how you stay in character, Pat.
They're not scripted questions either, though. So that's like for me, it's like a nice mental vacation because I get to be Chuck Pagano for like 30 minutes. I'm really enjoying. Believe me, some of the things that I've said thus far inside, I really enjoy a lot. I'm like, man, I'm happy my brain just came up with that right there. I get really proud of me, but I try to stay in character because I know I can't do it again. So if I start laughing,
have you heard from him since you've been doing this?
So he heard the first one. I don't know if he heard the last one. I'm not sure how the last one's going over. I'm not sure if it's a positive thing in the building or not, because I mean, if you say the wrong fucking team, I have to make fun of that. Like, I have to make fun of that, and I'm assuming things are a little hot in there. Have you ever been a part of an organization where things are getting hot, like in the coaching, like seats?
I mean, I was with the Bengals for a year, and it seemed like the last 7 years they're talking about if Marvin will be back. But no, like, I haven't. I've been lucky to where it wasn't. No, there was no one really on the hot seat. I came in to Green Bay, Mike McCarthy's first year as the head coach. So we were pretty successful there with some stud quarterbacks, with Brett Favre into Aaron Rodgers. So we never really had that issue.
What was a better celebration, national championship or Super Bowl?
Probably the Super Bowl, just because national championship, I had to get back to class and everything, man. You don't get anything special.
Come here to do school.
Cardell, that's right. He said it. He said it best, and he's made fun of himself since. Cardell, have you ever talked to him?
No, I see he's got a fucking hose, though. He played against us last year whenever we played the Bills.
What about his arm, though?
Thank you, AJ, for a little insight on Cardell Jones' penis size. No, his...
I did not play with Cardell. That was strictly... Just, I don't know. It was a shot in the dark, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Why is that? Why are you guessing that way, AJ?
Because he's a football player. Don't all football players have big dongs?
Amen. Punters are football players, too. Now, listen. He has a big arm. He's a hilarious dude, though.
He's a great – so there's this Ohio State charity cruise that we go on pretty much every year and raises a ton of money for cancer research. I'm pubbing everything here. I love it.
Unbelievable.
Cardell was on there. I'd never really even met him before this cruise this past year, and he's a great dude. Like, he honestly is like – he's just a real respectful, awesome guy. And even the other players that are on the cruise, a lot of former Buckeyes, like, they all love him. And I was really impressed. And I think whenever he does get his shot – now he's on the Chargers now. I think he's going to be a player.
25,000 people watching that team in L.A.
Speaking, yeah. Did you ever play against Antonio Gates? He broke the record yesterday.
Yeah, Antonio is so good, man. That dude is so – he's a giant, first off, and he just – He's a
big
master.
Dick. Are we talking about dicks again?
I don't know. I mean, hey, I'm sure. I would guess that dude. He's so good at football. But that he's like a Witten. Like they have this crazy like savvy way of getting open to where it's like you can't really do much. He's just gonna box you out. He's gonna Phil Rivers. It seems like his best friend. He puts it on him, man. You can't stop him. It's a beautiful thing to see when you watch those guys. Especially they're almost 40. I feel like now and just still killing it.
Hey, AJ, you're like a pretty attractive dude. You know, you're in the spotlight all the time. You know, I wanted to let you know that, like, looking good doesn't need to cost a fortune.
Pat, first off, I hate your fake insincere intros into these ad reads.
I was kind of sincere there, but I was definitely using you to get to this ad read for sure, for certain.
I get it.
Looking good doesn't need to cost a fortune. 5-4 Club is revolutionizing the way men shop. Each month, they send you a curated package of clothes that are hand-picked to match your style. Not everybody has the same style, AJ. You like to do you. I like to do better. You know what I mean?
That's not. There's no way that's in the read.
Well, if you do 5-4 Club, that's why you will do better. They know what they're doing. So if you don't, that's okay. 5-4 Club will help you build your wardrobe 1 month at a time. You can pause or cancel at any time. If you want out, you say, I'm out. It's not just going to blow over. It's not just going to keep happening. If you don't like it anymore, you're out. But you know what? You will like it. You will like it. Because your wardrobe is about to take a little trip to Fantasticville, okay? It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be epic. Go to 54club.com right now and enter promo code Heartland, and they'll give you 50% off your first month's package plus a free pair of sunglasses. That's 50% off your first package and free sunglasses at 54club, spelled FIVEFOURCLUB.com. Promo code Heartland, 54club.com. Promo code Heartland, 54club.com. Promo code Heartland. They'll make you look good, AJ. I know you don't need any help, but 5-4 Club could do just a little bit better for you.
I'm honestly kind of intrigued about 5-4 Club. I've heard them advertise on other podcasts that I listen to. Do you actually wear their stuff?
Yeah, I do, and it fits well too. It not only does it looks good, but it fits well. I have a weird body, but they do a whole profile for you, and they send you everything. They're like, let us tell you what you'll look good in. I'm like, thanks. I don't even have to think about it. I'm like, wow, 54club.com, promo code Heartland.
That's good. They send you tank tops and ripped jeans still?
Hey, AJ? AJ?
Yes?
Don't do that to my ad read ever again.
What? They have to like it. They have to like – you ever listen to Bill Burr's podcast?
Yeah, he's enjoyable as fuck.
Well, I will strictly listen to Bill Burr just for his ad reads.
That's fantasticness. That's what we're trying to do here.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, why? I hope that's the good thing about these advertisers. They have to enjoy when guys make it their own. And Bill Burr is one of the few that you won't keep hitting the 15 seconds for. And the other one would be Laces Out and obviously the Pat McAfee Show or whatever you call it now.
That's what it's been called. Thanks. Forever, literally, since you got it. How many years did you play in the league?
11.
It's a long time at linebacker.
Could you imagine playing 10,000 straight snaps?
Joe Thomas, man, I don't know how he does that.
Like, on the worst team in the league?
Ever.
What a monster. Yeah, for real. And I don't know. He's a special player, no question. But how do you don't miss any snaps. It's one thing to fight
what
through.
What if you have to shit? Like anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's one thing to play through. Everyone plays through injuries. And you find a way. But to actually stay and play all four quarters in every play of the game, that's what's nuts. There had to be times either when they were getting blasted or the rare opportunity where they were blasting somebody where he could have taken the last couple series off. But, man, respect to Joe Thomas.
That's what I was going
to
say. That latter part has never happened. That's probably what made it easier.
There's no rest time into Cleveland Browns if you're the left tackle. You're blocking for somebody you don't know, playing in a game that you know doesn't mean anything, and he goes 10,000 straight. That's incredible. Then he drinks some bourbon.
How do you think it is that, like, what's the atmosphere like, Ben, for Joe, day in, day out in Cleveland? Like, do you think
every year he's on the trade block?
Yeah, which I can't imagine he'd be super upset if he got traded to a contender. But the thing is, like, what he's had multiple different head coaches, a million different players, but
new owners.
It can't be just brutal every single day, can it? When you lose at a consistent basis, like it can't just be doom and gloom, can it? Every day,
it has to be. Unless they're just completely like, yep, another loss. Here we go. They have to be upset. They almost won 0-16 last year. Like, I mean, there's only been one other team, the Lions. Like the year we were heading for 0-16. We were very much nervous about being in the same sentence as that Detroit Lions team. And the Browns almost did it last year, and they've done it numerous years before. It's got to be a miserable workplace. That's why I respect the fact that he can be funny and shit still. Because that's
It does, but the good thing, I guess, I would imagine after time, the expectations are low. So, like, any small victory you have, like, you just got to be juiced and really celebrating.
That's when I knew things were going bad, though. Because we got, like, our first win of the season, and, boy, it was a turn-up session. Like,
you know, Victory Monday, and you guys are all dancing.
And 1-8, 1-9. See you Wednesday.
Did you get Victory Mondays much, Pat?
Yeah. The first few years, though, the team was really, really good. Really, really good.
And who was your coach? Were you Chuck the whole time?
Jim Caldwell. We went to the Super Bowl my rookie year.
That was when Hester took the opening kickoff?
No, that was 2005. I came in 2009. They had the winningest decade in NFL history. I came in for the last 3 years of it.
Okay. In Green Bay at least, we didn't start getting Victory Mondays until like after our bye week usually, how much we won.
It was November, I think. It was whenever we started. It was November. But I really enjoyed those a lot. I enjoyed sleeping in on Monday, then watching Monday Night Raw on Monday night, and then coming in Tuesday, off day, okay, now we're back Wednesday. Let's punt a couple balls. Let's win again. Let's just go win again so I can do that again. This is a perfect schedule. And these last couple years, AJ, what I've learned is whenever you lose the thought that Victory Monday is ever going to come, that really takes a lot out of you mentally and emotionally.
I think it can also show you how important it is to have a stud quarterback.
Oh, dude, you need one. You were in Cincinnati. Is that when Dalton was doing well? Because Dalton was really good there for a little bit.
Andy, the year I was in Cincinnati, and I love Andy, he was on pace to, honestly, to be the MVP of the league. Like, he was in the top, probably the top
balling.
Player, 3 to 4 guys, and then he if you remember, he threw like a fumble or a pick, and he tackled the dude and broke his thumb real bad and had surgery. He was killing it right up until then.
Yeah, and then now, 8 quarters, 0 tutties.
Hey, they fired their old coordinator, man, so they're back. They're back on track this week.
Who was it?
They're playing Green Bay.
Who's the guy?
It was Ken Zampezi. They put it on him, so now they promoted their quarterback's coach, Bill Lazor, I think, to coordinator. So now what if they go out and they put up like 40 on Green Bay and people are like, oh, we're back. We did it.
Ohio loves football and they'd be all in on that, I believe.
Of course they would. They'd say, oh, okay, good. We got the riffraff out of there. So now we're fine. It was just that coordinator that was causing all the problems.
AJ, I have a question about Green Bay's defense. Have you been watching them at all?
Yeah, I saw them play recently against Atlanta.
What do you think about them like replacing the linebacker with Morgan Burnett safety and like running this nitro defense?
I think honestly – so Morgan is another guy. I know I sound like a homer, but Morgan is one of my favorite teammates of all time. And he's Morgan can do it. He hits like as a safety. He's a guy that's not scared to hit people, so he can definitely come down. And you're seeing that around the league. What is it, Jefferson now, who was in Arizona? He's now with the Ravens. He kind of became that guy.
I still don't know why
Arizona. To where he safety moved to linebacker.
I think I should have been a DN. Now that I'm thinking about it all. Right now, you were just talking about guys that were safety size that played linebacker. I mean, I should have played DN. I played midgets for, 3 weeks? Nobody could block me.
You played wideout. I threw you a couple touchdowns. It was great.
Wideout. I played DN. Nobody could block me. I was just an animal. And now that I'm watching these guys, I just think that I missed my calling. That's what I'm
saying.
You did.
You should have. And it was blame the coaches. You wanted to. They were scared to put you in there. They know how valuable the punt was, Pat. And they said, hey, we can't lose this guy.
I used to play quarterback against the scout team, against the defense, whenever the first couple years in the league. I knew when we'd have a good day or not.
Yeah, Pat, did you ever, if I was your coach, if I was the special teams coach and someone broke like a kickoff or a punt return, I would literally tell my guy to run to the sidelines. We're going to defend him with 10 because it's not worth losing you guys because it's tough to find a good kicker and a good punter. We know that.
It's tough to replace one too,
Did your coach ever tell you just, hey, man, don't go in there and try to knock people out?
Yeah, so I got blindsided. I've told this story before. We were in a preseason game, and it was like my second year and I got blindsided by a guy who went for the block. He missed the block, so he did a roundup block. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't see him, and he was running like 35, 40 yards, and he lowers his right shoulder directly square into the middle of my sternum in the middle of the field, okay? And I don't fall down. I look like a G on film. I just stand there. But if you could hear me on the film, it would be a, you know, that whole thing when you lose your breath. You know what I'm talking about, AJ?
Of course I know. That happened to me on a punt team one time. Some young punk rookie was he wasn't in there, and we were blowing some team out. This was one of my last years in Green Bay. And they're like, oh, the special teams coach is freaking out. We only had 10. AJ, get in there. And me being stupid and not saying no, I ran in there. Ran down, but the guy had already been tackled, so I had started to coast, and some dude just blasted me right in the chest, like bruised my lung, all this stuff, and I had to stay in for the next series too, and I couldn't even call the defense. I was just wheezing and dying and soup. I was losing my mind too, how mad I was, just the whole situation. So well, I know how you feel.
It's funny the difference, because you stayed in and played that defensive series. What I did, you see, was I walked to the sideline. And Jim Caldwell said, are you okay? And I responded with like a, and he's told me to go sit down. And the D-line coach, Tierlink, have you ever met Tierlink? You know the name?
Yeah.
He's like a legendary D-line coach. He's old school. He comes next to me. He's like a 500-pound dude. He never gets up, but he like walks over to me and he sits down. I'm like, oh, shit, this guy's never said a word to me. And he goes, how are you doing, kid? And I go, he said, good, you're a fucking idiot or something like that. He said, they're about to score right now. It's a preseason game. Nobody gives a fuck. Punt the ball and get off the field, and you'll never have to get hurt again. And I said, and he walked away. So in preseason games, I would punt the ball and walk directly to the sidelines directly after that. I would punt the ball. I would catch it, punt it as fast as I fucking could, and just walk to the sidelines. But in games, if the guy's going to get by me, it's going to fuck up my stats. It's going to fuck up everything. So that's why I get so angry. If he gets like a 15-yard return, I get like real pissed off, because I'm like, fuck. All I see is just the stats going ting, 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 ting. And I see our chances of stopping the other team's offense going boom, boom, boom. So we're probably going to lose. And I get angry and I just make a tackle. So I'm trying to help the team out. I'm trying to help me out. And at the end of the day, if you blow up a returner and you're a white punter, you look good doing it. I mean, you look good, AJ.
Yeah, you're going to go viral for sure. Right? But when they're like for contract negotiations for a punter, I know they love it, and there's nothing special team coaches love more than stats when they work out in their favor. But do they actually say they want to re-sign you? Are they really looking like at just the numbers, or they're going to watch all of your balls and see how it goes?
Those motherfuckers didn't know. I went in with Grigson's, the new regime was there, but the attorneys were still there from the Colts. So they were the negotiators, but everything had to go through Grigson. And I don't think they watch every – I think it's very much based on the money or the stats and, like, how things going. And, like, because, you know, in negotiations, they're trying to use every single number or thing against you at all times. You know that.
Yeah.
So, like, if I had a bad number that I didn't even know was a real stat, they'd be like, well, in the first quarters of games and away games, you are hitting, like, they would dig for stats if they wanted them. But I think it is, everything is numbers, man. My entire career was everything is numbers. How are your numbers? How are your numbers? How are your numbers? That's how everything was viewed.
Well, because people are, I think now you may be changing it a little bit with the videos you post on the
I'm trying
game,
my best.
People don't know who a good punter is. They really don't. So they can just look at the stat sheet.
Well, that's why, but it's different because, so if you have a high inside the 20 number, your gross average is probably going to be down because you're kicking with a shorter field. So, like, their stats are kind of misleading too. So, but the contract negotiators know that. The fans don't, though. So, like, I think one thing I'm going to do with these videos is I think I'm going to educate a lot of people on, like, a good punter. Because Marquette King is a very good punter. He scored points for the Raiders this past weekend. But he's, like, the only punter that anybody knows. And I'm like, man, there's some guys who are real fucking good with this football. I think Marquette's one of them. I think Johnny Hecker's good. Thomas Morstead. I think Huber's good. And I'm very happy to be putting a little spotlight on it. Because I think guys work their dicks off at it.
They do. Yeah, are you boys with Huber?
Yeah, I like Huber a lot, man. Did you enjoy him? He seems like a real cool dude.
Oh, I love Huber. And I actually was not aware of the incident when he got blasted and broke his jaw
neck.
And had to get wired shut. He had to show me the clip of it. I don't know why I forgot about that. So that dude's a grinder too. I love Huber. He's a really fun guy.
Who's your favorite teammate of all time?
That's a good one, Pat. So I didn't get to play with you, unfortunately.
I would have been, by the way. Like a lot of people say that I'm their favorite teammate. So just
that's I believe it. Yeah, I believe you. Man, that's tough. I don't know. Who's your favorite teammate?
Adam Vinatieri.
Well, come on. That's a cop-out just because you spent all day with
him. Is that a cop-out? I mean, that was a real answer. I mean, why don't you – you could have copped out and said anything, and you didn't have one. I had one on deck ready to go. Here we go. Greatest of all time. That was my favorite teammate. Guy that I held his balls for. Guy that I drank with. A guy that taught me a lot about life there. And a guy that's hilarious.
I'd say Aaron. Aaron definitely was probably my favorite teammate. And so when I got to Green Bay, I played 2 years with Brett Favre as the starter. Aaron was 1 year older than me. And I sat next to him in team meetings for 9 straight years and know him well, obviously. But he does all the things right. He teaches me a lot about like the off. I would definitely bounce, not to get too like actual serious in football here, but yikes. I would like to bounce ideas off of him. Like what's tough on you? Like that's a great thing to always ask offensive guys. Like what do you hate? What do you hate the most? What a defense does or what linebackers would do? And he is crazy smart. Not only off the field, but definitely a football smart, and has this crazy recall where he can remember any play from the last 20 years that he's been a part of.
He crushed Jeopardy. That's why. He has that brain right there.
He loves Jeopardy. He loves all those kind of games.
Yeah, he got like that memory.
If you watch Jeopardy with him, it's maddening. You'll be having a conversation, and Jeopardy's on, and he'll just be talking to you, and then he'll just blurt out the answers in the middle of your sentences.
What about Clay Matthews? You had long hair with him. How was he?
Yeah. Oh, Clay's great, man. Clay's still playing
like,
really
well. Like, why do you can't just skip over. You were in a meeting room with him on a very regular basis.
Who?
Position, Clay Matthews.
No, I didn't play the same position, bud.
Oh, yikes.
It was 3-4. He's an outside backer, so they were actually separate. I know that some teams, each team does it different, but inside backers, we had our own room, and outside backers had their own room. But I spent tons of times around Clay, yeah.
I respect
so
that.
So I was at his wedding. He's a good dude, man. He's got a couple kids, too.
Name drop.
Name drop that you brought up.
It wasn't me. It was Dix. If it means anything, that was Dix. It was not me.
Okay.
Is Aaron Rodgers going to be okay after this breakup or what?
It's not like it's that recent, is it?
Huh? It seems fresh. And when you have a love like that, is there anything that's never not recent?
However, did you see who's been commenting on his Instagram? Sloan from Entourage.
What?
Emmanuel Shrikwe.
Do you hear what's going on in his comment section, in Aaron Rodgers' comment section there, AJ?
He's been friends with her for like 10 years, man. That's not news.
Oh, that's nice. Not news, he says. Because he's probably been friends with her too.
Her fiance, husband, whoever it is. Yeah, they're like, they're friends. They have like, do like charity work together. Yeah, E. She's married to E, I think.
Is she really married to E?
No. E's like 5'2".
Yikes.
Look at us.
Respect to E, though. He actually has a good podcast, too.
What? AJ, you
just pubbing everybody's podcast.
Enough. How is what's like a hobby of yours? What's your favorite hobby? Hanging out with your fucking kids?
I mean, that's the easy cliche answer.
It is. You're right. That's the machine answer. So I'm happy you didn't give it.
No, I mean, of course, I spend most of my time when I'm not doing broadcasting stuff. I'm with my kids, no doubt. But I play a tiny bit of golf, a little bit. I have a million different things I'm into. It's hard to like pinpoint. I don't know. I'm not like I don't like to fish because it's boring. I've hunted when I was in high school. I haven't hunted since then.
Do you ever play video games?
When I played Super Nintendo back in the day when F-Zero was big.
It was
so
good. Mario Kart back in the day. Nowadays, these kids play these real games where they're really killing each other. I don't get it.
Yeah, I never really got it. I don't have any gaming system actually in my house now. I don't want my kids to get on that anyway, so we're not going to have any gaming system.
Do they have phones? Do your kids not have phones?
No, my oldest is 6 and a half, man. She asked for a phone, though. She definitely asked, and they can operate it, and they can take pictures and use like Snapchat filters on their faces. They love to play with them.
Can they like tweets on Twitter?
Probably. That's what Ted Cruz probably should have used as his excuse.
Should have won with that. Yeah, he should have won with that. My kid accidentally started finger fucking around here and just liked the tweet. What's AJ Hawk's future?
What do you mean? I hope to be alive for a while. Other than that, we'll see.
What a fucking dummy. Like,
what do you mean? Like what?
What are you going to do? What is AJ Hawk? What is the plans for AJ Hawk for the next 5 years, 10 years? What are you going to get into? You're doing a lot of media stuff. You got an MMA show. You got the Hawkcast. You got the Laces Out show. You're everywhere. What it like? Are you just trying to take over the world, or what's going on? Because I'm trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, well, no, you're doing a great job of that. So I've always wanted to. Probably for my last 5 years I was in the league, I knew after football I wanted to get into the broadcasting game. My number one goal was to call games, be a color analyst at the games up in the booth, and that's what I'm doing this year for Fox. I'm doing the UCF at Maryland game this weekend.
Congratulations. Yeah,
there you go. Appreciate you guys. That's like my number one thing. I always want to hopefully have a full slate of games next year. And then other than that, I do a lot of different radio on Sirius. I have an MMA show twice a week that I love because I watch football and fighting. I don't watch basketball, baseball. I watch hockey a little bit for sure. But, yeah, as much as I can. Stuff has kind of picked up recently now that the season has started, and it's all kind of come at once where I'm almost trying to do less.
Yes. And everything comes at the last minute too, doesn't it? Just full circle. Whammy. Here you go. 14 show offers. Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, I'm not quite like you. But I definitely I love what I'm doing. I enjoy it, though. And that's the thing that bugs me. I understand a lot of guys have big problems when they transition out of football. But the thing is,
a lot of big problems when you transition, too, though. Just
what's that?
Not only from football, but.
Yeah, we know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Transitioning,
there was some
struggle with their transitions in all facets of life. We know that.
Yeah, we respect it all.
Of course we do. I get you, Pat. Yeah. But I think I always planned on – I always knew I was one play away, whatever the whole dumb cliche is. You know how many times like I've been walking in my house over the years holding one of my kids and I fall down the steps or something and thought, whew, that was almost a career ender right there. And I'm rolling to save my kid's life.
Dad of the year. What?
Well, you're Dustin just Johnson.
You're jumping down the stairs with your kids? What's going on?
No, a couple of times it really scared me a few times to where I was walking down like stairs that were wood and I had socks on and bam, I go falling backwards and you try to like roll and protect your kid that you're holding in your arms. I've fallen with two of them in my arms as well. And so I've always known you're just one incident away from being done. So I've always planned on what I want to do post football. And I don't know. I really enjoy it. And I really get annoyed when people try to tell me how I should feel. And, oh my gosh, do you just miss every single thing about football? And you really missed the locker room because you can't duplicate that. I'm like, okay, I'm all right without the locker room, buddy. I don't need open showers every day and to try to hear the newest future song.
Maybe invest in some grippy socks though, like soon.
House slippers. I wear house slippers at all times.
I think you should invest in a lawyer too. If you keep falling down the stairs with your kids in your arms, I think you're going to catch some couple situations there from the state.
No, they can blood test me. They can do whatever they want. I have no drugs or booze in my system if I fall with my kids. There you go. You know who's it? You know what's awesome about this video is Amber Rose is in it.
Yeah.
She kills me. She's so funny when her whole Kanye situation blew up a couple years ago. Hey, Pat.
You don't miss that in the locker room? Like, literally 8 hours straight of your life just being all the new bangers on repeat at all times?
I kind of do. I kind of miss the arguments they have about who's the greatest, too. Like, that's the thing that athletes love to argue, the greatest of
Eminem
whatever.
Eminem never gets his respect in the locker room conversation, just for future reference. I want the word
right.
That Eminem never even gets – like, I'll drop a – there's always a Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, and now the young guys are, like, making up all these young guys that are going to be the greatest rappers of all time, and I just drop one little, like – like, hey, yeah, Eminem, though, like, he's probably the winner, right? I mean, if we talk
Because you're only cool if you mention some kind of underground rapper that nobody's ever heard of and you play his stuff and it's horrible with no hook.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you're cool is if you argue for some guy that nobody's heard of. So everybody has to research some dude that nobody's heard of and they argue that guy to the death.
Well, that's because you have more knowledge in the rap game than the other people. If you know the hipster community of rappers that nobody else knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Same thing with all music. I love when people tell me about these, oh, have you heard of Jeremiah Jackson? I'm like, no, I don't care. I'm sure his music's garbage. So it's not the hits. If you put
Jeremiah,
hits,
is that an Amish rapper? Who's Jeremiah?
It was just I'm throwing a name out there because there's a lot of these like indie people that people like to argue with me about how great they are, and they just cannot fathom that I will not go download their songs. And I tell them, you can say it as much as you want, but I'm not going to go download this song. I'm really not.
Hey, have you ever, like, how many songs that go to number one on iTunes do you listen to, like, on a regular basis? Do you listen to, like, a lot of popular songs, like number one songs? Do you listen to a lot of those?
I have. There's one, yeah, one by the Quad Father that I really, really have been getting into lately. A voice for the voiceless.
How did this would have banged in the locker room, by the way. I would have made sure that. RPMPs to the sea of Japan. I'm worried about the fishes because the little fat man. The missiles are like pellets, fish are eating pack. If you could keep it down over there, AJ, please. RPMPs to the sea. What's up, man? Yeah. That's just the number one banger.
Not only clean lyrics, but what an intro and outro right on that
there,
track.
There's a good hype guy in the background there, the Raptivist.
Are you going to put out any more songs that really people can get geared up to?
Well, I got a Ric Flair song, dedication Ric Flair song that's in the making right now, just for, you know, if Ric Flair comes back strong, which we're all hoping for.
Flair strong. You were there for Chuck Strong, right?
I started Chuck Strong. Just
did you really?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I sent out one tweet that said, I can only hope to one day be, and then hashtag Chuck Strong. And then I was like, hey, this is probably a good idea. I told, like, the media, the marketing people, not the marketing people, the social media person. And then later that day, 2 days ago, the Colts had a big Chuck Strong campaign rolling. Sounds good. And I said, hey, if you guys need anything from me, you can. And they were like, oh, yeah, Pat donated T-shirts to the Chuck Strong campaign. I'm like, well,
did they like your personality Pat? Or
they hated it.
Hey, stay in your lane, Pat.
They absolutely hated it. They did not enjoy it. The Colts were not the biggest fan. Jim Irsay loved me because I sold a lot of jerseys. I was really good on the field. I did a lot of things. But a majority of the Colts were not the big – like, coaches loved me. Players loved me. But the business side was not the biggest fan of old Pat McAfee.
I can see that. A lot of NFL teams definitely – depending on where you are, some guys like it – some teams like it a lot more than others when people kind of put themselves out there, I guess. And you were still playing when you were traveling around doing stand-up, right?
Yeah. 13 shows during my career. Or 14. Yeah, 14 stand-up shows while in the league. Not bad.
Selling theaters out, no big deal.
Yeah. Speaking of, there's like 200 tickets left, I believe, to this Saturday show at Purdue. It's going to be a great evening.
Who's your favorite, like, comedian? Because I love stand-up.
I like Ron White a lot. So Ron White, I enjoy the way he tells stories a lot, but I enjoy a lot of comedians. I enjoy a lot of comedians. Even if I don't laugh at the joke, I enjoy their brains. I enjoy the way comedians think. I just really like the way they operate. I'm a big fan of a lot
of people. You like Stanhope?
Not so much. Who's that guy I love from New York? Gary Goldman.
Gary Goldman.
You ever heard Gary Goldman?
The Gull.
Yeah, he's a big old giant guy.
Yeah, he played tight end for Boston College, and his brain operates in a way that I've never seen a human's brain operate before. Ever. It's really okay. I think stand-up is like the ultimate showcase of your brain.
Who's your favorite, AJ?
Boy, I love Tom Segura. I've had him on my podcast a few times, actually. He's a good dude. He's really funny. I like Doug Stanhope. He's amazing. I saw him when I was like 12 years old.
Right? I was about to say, he's older, right?
Stanhope's probably like... He's probably 50, early 50s, if that. But he, no joke, I recorded a podcast with him probably 2.5 years ago. And it's the one that I've never released because he literally, there's not a corner of the earth that he did not offend in this podcast. And I've talked to him about it, about releasing it. Just even recently, I've been talking to him. And he's like, I'm glad he actually didn't release that. And he doesn't care at all about, like, repercussions of anything he ever says. It was weird because he would go on these rants, but there was always, like, some truth to him. That's why I was amazed at how...
That's comedians. That's what comedians
how smart
do.
He was. Like, it would be so over... It would start with a crazy, like, line, but then the whole bit, when he'd wrap it all up, it was amazing. And going to what you said, like, how their brain works really is. It's interesting.
So the... We have a comedian around here who's that same guy. His name's Chris Bowers. His first 5 minutes of his whatever he's talking about, you're going to go, like, get the fuck out of here, dude. And then at the end, you go, oh, that's interesting. I get it. But you have to get to the end. That is what he battles with, people getting – because he offends early, and then he comes back around at the end. You're like, oh, so it's kind of the same exact thing. So I enjoy that a lot. Will you ever do stand-up?
No, I have too much respect for the craft to try to throw my hat in that game.
Me too.
It's funny you say that because I just my first time was the ultimate disrespect to the craft, I think. I just fucking went up there, and if I would have sucked, I think I would have disrespected it. Because there's so much that goes into stand-up comedy that I've learned since my first time doing it that I really enjoy. I really enjoy like the thought of thinking about what you're going to say before just actually just saying it like I did the first time I was up there. I enjoy it. It's like a real craft. It's an art.
100%. I mean, that's all the podcasts that I listen to are comedians' podcasts. That's what got me into it. But do you ever what do you think about Larry the Cable Guy?
Probably higher than whoever you listen to, just for future reference.
But what?
What's that?
What about Larry the Cable Guy?
You like Larry the Cable Guy?
So, I know he has his whole shtick. Well, his name is Dan Whitney, first off. But so he plays in this golf thing out in Tahoe every year I do. And being around him and hanging out with that dude and smoking cigars with him, like, that dude is awesome. First off, when he speaks to you, he doesn't have that accent. He's not Larry. He's Dan. But he's a great dude. And he actually performed stand-up out there. It was the first time I've really seen his stuff. And it was really, really funny. He didn't really – you could tell he would do a couple of those get or done just to, like – pacify some
yeah he's
of the
definitely
crowd
sick of it, but it's still selling tickets for him, so now he has to bring in the new stuff.
He sells out stadiums, so it's like he can't completely get away from it, but he's actually really funny, and it's not that like corny stuff that is put out there that I guess like housewives and 50-year-old moms think is hilarious.
But Larry the Cable Guy is a perfect example of somebody who can create a character and go.
My sister got one titty bigger than the other. She was in a wet t-shirt contest, won first and third place.
Yeah.
AJ, how is that tournament out in Tahoe? That looks like an awesome time.
Oh, it's the best, man. I think I've played 7 or 8 years now, and I will do whatever I can to get an invite back every single year. That's all I care about is getting my invite to Tahoe. My brother caddies for me. He's canceled weddings. He's canceled everything just to still come out there. So
it's that much
whole
fun.
Thing is, it's amazing. Now, I'm not even a big golfer. Those guys all play
a lot
of golf.
Whose dick do I got to HJ to get in that?
You need to get in that Timberlake group with like –
here we go.
Yeah, Timberlake's been out there the last few years.
AJ's friends with him.
Rogers is
out
there every year.
I'm not. I've seen him out there and talked to him a little bit, but Timberlake's a serious golfer. He plays with Carlton, Alfonso Ribeiro, mm-hmm. Every round when he's out there. And but they do play. They play a little slow for my liking. They both really grind over shots. And I
are
absolutely
you serious?
Never.
I thought it was I've just never, a big drunk fest out there.
Well, it depends on who you are. That's the thing. Those guys are really serious about their golf, and they take practice swings and everything. And I've never been on the range or taken the practice swing out there.
I showed up without shoes in my first pro-am this year.
Yeah, Pat, you should come out there. You'd be awesome. Honestly, they love anybody that would really do
AJ.
Anything to kind of pub the tournament. Or it's NBC and American Century are the main people that make the decisions.
AG, I made the Pro Bowl, went to the Super Bowl that year, did some media. I met up with an agent who wanted to sign me, golfed on the same course as fucking Bo Jackson. Then he's texted me and said, hey, do you want to go to the ESPN party tonight? I said, sure, I'll go there. I don't think they're going to let me in, though. I think it's sold out. He goes, I just got to 13th man on the Oklahoma City Thunder in. We can get you in. I was like, awesome. Got a text back 4 minutes later. Yeah, ESPN declined you. I was like, okay, good. I don't get into anything, AJ. You're not going to be able to get me into the Tahoe thing. It's just not going to happen. Maybe if there's like an amateur Tahoe thing, I can get into that and have a great time at it.
Just throw your hat in the ring, Pat. That's all you got to do is let them know that you're interested, and I promise you they will give it a good hard look.
I think you should do it.
I'm a pretty good golfer when I get a little bit inebriated. Now, when I'm sober, not so much, but if I'm intoxicated, I could probably win that thing. How's it work? Do you know how it works, or do you just go to party?
No, I know how it works. You play like three like legit competitive rounds where every shot counts, but it's like a – there's no handicaps because I don't have a handicap because I'm not a douche, and I don't enter my scores after I play golf. But I you get like plus points. It's called the Staberford system. So a par is 1 point, a bogey is just zero, a birdie is 3 points, and then the worst you can do is a double bogey. That's minus 2 points. So you want to get into the positive. And Mark Mulder's won 3 years in a row. That dude's an absolute stud.
What's his score?
He's anywhere. I think he's like in the mid 70s points
in three rounds.
Yeah.
Yikes.
He's good. Steph Curry got like second or third. Steph is a stud golfer. He could win the tournament, and all those guys are really good. It's crazy how much golf they play.
So I should try to win, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I've been battling. I've been really almost in the last group on Sunday each year, and then I just usually end up about 80th place.
Ah, you're a fucking idiot. Thank you so much for coming on, AJ.
No problem, man. Thank you. Big fan. Big fan of all you guys. Your great work. You guys are changing the world.
Hey, appreciate that. Do you have anything else you want to pub here?
Let me run through my list. No, that's a no. I don't know. That's, you know, I'm sure, Pat, you call into radio shows, and don't they?
Nope,
they would always say, like, when before the thing, like, hey, hey, what do you want us to promote? I'm like, nothing. I'm not calling in here to promote something, bud. You don't have to like say anything. I don't care. Like, just go. Let's just go.
Yeah, but normally that's why they have you on,
right?
That's what I'm always told. I'm always told you can't come on.
You mean
to promote? Yeah, I'm always told I can't come on because I don't have anything to promote. So I was going to write a book so I could have something to promote.
You have tons of stuff to promote. That's the thing. They just want your hot take, Pat.
I got some hot takes. Real hot takes. Real hot takes. That punter last night or on Sunday night trying to fuck over the other punter out of 4 yards? Real gamesmanship.
What's his name?
Chris Jones.
He was the one that was trying to get 4 yards taken off?
Yeah, from Riley Dixon. But Riley Dixon kicks in Denver every week, so I think that the hatred, the little deep pent up, every yard we can steal from this guy, we're going to do it, and it happened right there on national TV.
Mm, just punt out of bounds. Let everybody have a break that's on punt team.
And with that being said, the classic meathead who's going to be color commentating more games to really educate the American people. Mr. AJ Hawkeye, thank you so much for joining us, buddy.
Thank you, Pat. One sec, real quick, you know what I'm going to try to do now? I'm going to try to incorporate some punt talk into the broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, only 4 or 5 million views on the videos on the internet that I've been putting out, so probably not a bad idea for the business.
No big deal, Pat. Sorry about that.
AJ, you are the absolute man. I appreciate you. Your friendship has been really cool to have here the last couple weeks. You're a cool guy.
Hey, likewise, man. You're doing awesome stuff. I appreciate it and having a lot of fun joining even on Laces Out. So thanks, man. We'll talk soon.
All right. See you, AJ. That a boy. I'm a big AJ Hawk fan. I've only been friends with him here for a few weeks. I'm a big fan of the way he handles his business, his life, his thoughts, everything.
You guys are a good duo.
Yeah, stuff. It's a pretty good little bounce back and forth. He definitely probably has some concussion stuff, right? Like CTE type thing. I do not, which is good for me. Great for me. Let's get some final thoughts. Wrap it up at Tactical Digs. Final thought.
My final thought. When you run multiple Twitter accounts, as people do, I do. It's a real dangerous operation. You got to make sure you're on the right Twitter account.
Yeah, P's and Q's. You gotta cover.
Because if you don't, you don't switch over to the right one, then everyone in the world finds out that you have a bogus Twitter account just to chirp back at haters.
Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird? A little clapback season right there.
Yep.
From the at Sean Lane.
What I'm speaking is the Kevin. It was found out that Kevin Durant has a fake Twitter account that he just replies to haters of his with.
He says he said you.
I have.
Do
it.
You think? Yeah, read it.
So the guy tweeted to Kevin Durant, "Man, I respect the hell out of you, but give me one legitimate reason for leaving OKC." Other than getting a championship.
So he has the answer in his head that he always wants to say, kind of like what I do with the Chuck Pagano press conferences. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to another Twitter account normally and gives his answers Correct. Through a reasonable person and retweets that person.
Correct.
Great idea. What was the thing that he made up?
He forgot to switch his Twitter account, and then he said, about Kevin Durant, he said he didn't like the organization or playing for Billy Donovan. His roster wasn't that good. It was just him and Russ. Imagine taking Russ off that team. See how bad they were. KD can't win a championship with those cats.
What a fucking answer from yourself.
Finally.
About yourself to another from another
and
person.
And he had those hater shoes comes out where KD listens to he reads the press clippings.
Yeah, he's got a different Twitter account to answer other people. He's all in on that. He must know his. So that's why he knew when I watched the ESPYs, something happened like that was like a moment. I don't know if it was like a feel-good moment.
Oh, this most recent one.
And Kevin Durant wasn't clapping. And everybody like on Twitter started going nuts. They're like, everybody's giving a standing ovation and even crying, and Kevin Durant isn't even clapping right here. And they just caught him right after he stopped clapping, and it was on camera. It looked bad.
Mm, so that's what they do.
So then afterwards, though, Kevin Durant did the most enthusiastic clap in like front of a camera almost. And I was like, he must have seen or heard or realized that he was caught on camera not clapping because it was like an over-exaggerated.
To be real, to be that good and that popular, to be that insecure is a little weird.
Yeah, but I think keeping a and I do this. I check what people are saying about me a lot, because you have to understand what the public is thinking. Because if something's going the wrong way that isn't true, you should definitely put a stop to it immediately. And I don't do that from another Twitter account. That's another level of not wanting to act like you're doing what you're doing. But he should own it. Like, that's intelligent to know what people are saying about you, because I've had people say that I'm going to make an appearance at a place. Like, come see Pat McAfee tonight at da-da-da with my picture. And if it wasn't for me, like, looking at my shit all the time, I'd have been like, yeah, this isn't happening. Like, this guy was trying to hustle money. Or, like, Pat said this to my friend this night. I was like, yeah, that never happened. I wasn't even in the same state. Like, that type of shit to me means a big deal, because I don't like people just...
No, I agree with that part. I'm saying to make your own...
Make your own account, though, is absurd. Just own that, you fucking... It's wild.
You didn't like playing for Billy Donovan and you thought the rest of the team was shit.
Billy Donovan was the Florida Gators, right? Yeah, you can't really say that, though. You can't. It's hard, because whenever you're – that's an interesting thing that players have to deal with on a very regular basis, is they get asked in their locker room after a loss about the team that they're playing for. And you can't say anything bad, because as soon as you say anything bad, it's going to get to the person. It's going to be an awkward spot. So you always hear guys be like, well, this team is one of the best teams I've ever been around or whatever. So then later they hold it against that person. They're like, well, what's his – Kevin Durant said this team was one of the best teams ever, and he can't win with one of the best teams ever. Well, yeah, he only said that because he was standing around them, and he couldn't say that, yeah, these guys are terrible. And I think that happens on a very regular basis, that from my
– yes.
From my experience, watching people talk about things that I know are just, well, a shit show. I mean, yeah, it's very
totally.
Like, oh, best GM we've ever had. I like our relationship is perfect or whatever. And they're like, well, Chuck can't even win with the GM he gets along with. He's like, and then it came out the guy gets fired. He's the most unlikable human in the history of sports somehow. But then it's an interesting thing. At Tom McComas, final thoughts.
Final thoughts are shout out to Stuntman. You were talking the other day about that was your dad's dream.
Yeah.
Tim McAfee wanted to be a stuntman. He gave up that dream for his family. Respect it. But stuntman back in the day, I think, was the coolest job ever. It was different than today. It's still, they're badasses, I know, but they have more technology and stuff to keep it safe for them. There was a guy, I don't know if a lot of people know this, it was a stuntman in the movie Ben-Hur, and there's chariot races going on.
Huh?
And one of the stuntmen fell out of the chariot. Mm-hmm. And got ran over by another chariot, folded him in half, killed him. And the family said that he had left a living will that said, if I ever die making a movie from doing stunts, please ask them to keep that shot in the movie. That's... And they did. So when it's an old movie. I mean, like, my dad was probably a kid when that movie came out, but Ben-Hur is the thing they still show like once or twice a year.
Yeah.
If you ever watch it, there's a scene where a guy, gets ran over on the ground. Died. That's the real stuntman.
That's awesome.
Wow.
They kept it in the movie. How hardcore is that?
Wow. Having like that type of forethought, though, that knowing, like, hey.
There's a chance.
I've been doing a lot of these stunts lately. They're real close to going wrong. And if I die, this son of a bitch better be in the movie.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you know, yeah. If you're going to give your life doing it, you better not leave me on the editing room table.
That's awesome. The real badasses of action flicks, huh? Or the stuntmen.
Sure, yeah.
You got to do your own thing. Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise, 60 years old, cracking his shin off a building.
Doing backflips.
Huh?
Climbing mountains.
He's no Jackie Chan, though. Let's be honest here.
Dude. So do you remember impressive. When he used to just run up the fucking wall? Like 45 years old? After the movie was better than the actual movie. Watching his little stunts and him getting like confused or like... It was...
Kata! Kata!
Kata!
That was incredible. Good for him. A dude at the Pirates of the Caribbean died down to, didn't he in a boat get like...
died filming...
what's that movie? Narcos.
That happened.
The location guy.
He was just scouting the location.
Yeah, the scouting...
How did he die?
Scouting location guy was in Mexico, scouting like a new gangster situation.
Murdered.
And he got murdered by the gangsters.
But you have to understand, this guy is so good at his job. He found a location where he could legitimately get murdered, and he got murdered. He's a locations guy.
For Narcos season 4.
He went into Mexico to find a dangerous location to shoot.
Yeah.
And it was so dangerous. This looks like a real
place somebody could get murdered.
He died. And he did.
Netflix loves it.
Oh,
his family hates it for sure. His family hates that happens.
I mean, it's terrible.
It's terrible that he died. But for Netflix, it's like, this is how legit we are. It's just like any mafia arrest that happened during The Sopranos. Just help build The Sopranos. It's that type of thing. And it sucks that guy died. It's terrible that guy died. But that's a wild
thing. There was one who's recently, and they were filming Deadpool 2, and a dude, stuntman died.
Stuntman is a risky. You know, they call that like the, what is it? The crab catching. The most dangerous job on earth. These stuntmen, I feel like they get pretty fucked up.
A lot of the vehicle crashes that they do, I guess, are one of the most dangerous things.
Yeah. Remember when Vince did his own stunts, and then he got a concussion, then he got hooked on opiates, and then he started dating a porn star, and then he had to go to rehab?
Yep.
That shit happens.
Whoa.
Yep. That's because he was doing his own stunts.
Mm-hmm. I do my own stunts.
Oh, yeah?
Also, I just want a big shout out to Lee Majors, my favorite stuntman of all time.
At Sean Latham, final thoughts?
My final thought is, if you're one of these people who likes to check in places when you get there, wherever you are, you check into gas stations, you check into the bar, you check in here, you check in there, don't check other people in. Do you. Do not check me in. You don't know who I'm lying to or what I got going on. You check yourself in, asshole, okay?
I'll do me.
You don't go walking around checking people. You don't know who I'm lying. I got shit. You don't know. Leave me the fuck out of your check-ins. You worry about you. And if your friends want to check in, they'll check themselves in. Joe, social media. You know, people don't have enough shit to post all day. They got nothing going on, so they just need people to know, oh, look, I still exist online. Let me just tell people I'm at the fucking this place.
Let me fuck over Sean Latham real quick.
And I'm not the only one. I'm sure it's happened way worse, but I'm just saying in general. You know, sometimes you don't want to.
Something happened this weekend, yourself. Man.
Not this weekend, just in general. It's just something.
I thought you were staying in. Bobby just said you were checked in at the gas station down the fucking road.
Why you checked in at Applebee's? Oh my God, Jesus! Now I got to make up a lie.
Endless apps, guys.
It's hard to get out of things these days because you're going to get caught if you're going elsewhere. You're just going to get caught.
Just say no.
Snapchat, it's going to happen.
You can tell if people don't want to kick it with you. Because you'll get texts like, dude, I saw you at this place here. I saw you at Snapchat there. I thought you were going to blah. How about you calm the fuck down? I apologize. Nobody hit you up. But that's not me. I just show up. People hit me up. I go, I'll go.
You're so
I'm not
popular.
The planner.
You're so popular.
No, I'm not. But if you have like 9 friends, you don't need that many friends.
This guy's so popular. I can't handle it.
I'm not the guy that organizes
the shit. Do you
remember
when Sean wasn't so popular?
Yeah,
you ever remember that?
First of all, I hang out the same 8 people every week.
You do got to be careful, though. I tell you, I got fucked by Verizon one time. My wife's phone number, cell phone number, my second wife, was 1 digit off of mine. Like, mine ended in 4, her ended in 5, whatever. Got a message left on her phone one time from one of my buddies at work. Instead of just fucking taking my message and just going with it, he calls me back and leaves a voicemail on her phone that says, "Don't worry, buddy, I got your back. If anybody asks, you're with me all night, no problem. I got you." On her phone.
Yikes.
Divorce.
I had a girlfriend break up with me before because of that. She knew every day I was at football practice in college, so she would call me every day. And like after a couple weeks, I'd be like, "Why the fuck are you calling me every day when you know I'm at practice?" Turns out she was checking my voicemails, and someone from the night before had called and said, "Hey, had a great time last night. We should do that again." That was the end of that relationship.
Bad boyfriend, Anthony.
I was young.
It was a good run, Diggs.
It was a good run.
Clean.
Why
run.
Does she keep calling me? Oh, because back in the day, you used to be able to hit like star and then hit the passcode.
Yep.
You used to be able to get into anybody's voicemail at any time.
Yeah.
If you do the code. That's still a thing, by the way.
I probably should have explained that.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
That's still a thing?
I don't think so.
I think that's still a thing.
You can call into my phone if you... I don't even know my code.
No, it's all voice over IP.
The only That's person that means. Leaves voicemails now are parents. It's, "Hey, Jeff, it's mom. Dude. I'm just calling to let you know." That-
Such a serial killer move to leave a voicemail.
Yeah. With the time. If you leave a voicemail with the time in it, look out.
How about if you introduce yourself? "Hey, this is..." "Hey, Pat." "Yeah, my phone says it."
"Hey, Pat, this is Nick. It's 6:56 on Wednesday afternoon. Just calling to leave you a little message. Why don't you get back to me?"
"Hey, bud."
My dad does that. Oh, shout out to him. He almost got arrested for trying to support the brand in France.
This is unbelievable, by the way.
What happened?
Coach Diggs, Papa Diggs.
How is this not your final thought, first of all?
I forgot all about it. Hold on. I think I have.
This is absurd. One of the most incredible things I've ever heard.
This is the text I woke up to. "Dad was practically arrested for having Barstool flag in his backpack. They wanted him to put it in the garbage. Fortunately, our guide convinced security to let us leave it at the gate, and she would remove it when she left."
At the Eiffel Tower.
At the Eiffel Tower. He wanted to take a picture with the Saturdays Are for the Boys flag on top of the Eiffel Tower.
Clean move.
You got to
love
that.
It.
You have to love that. That's amazing.
Tagliato.
Why are they in France? Just vacation?
They're over there for 3 weeks, just fucking France, Italy, just living the dream.
God, the Tagliatos enjoy life.
Yeah.
If I've learned anything.
That's awesome.
It's good. Italians. At Nick Marotta, final thoughts?
Sean kind of inspired my final thought. If someone asks you to hang out and you don't want to hang out, don't make up an excuse. Just say no. Say, like no, that. I'm not going to go out tonight.
Huh. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Just be straight
up. Don't be afraid to speak your mind.
What if it's a like a gigantic mixed martial artist?
Nah, not interested.
And you get real scared.
I'll go.
You're like, I'll go.
I need stories.
Yeah, but what if you can't? Like, what if you just want to hang? Like, what if you're just tired? Like, what if you just
say okay.
I'm
tired? Hey, yeah. I'm pretty tired. I'm not going to do anything tonight.
Well, it doesn't matter who it is at that point.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah. At D. Jeff Vibbert, final thoughts?
I just wanted to say shout out to stunt women. I feel like stunt men get all the credit.
Fuck you, Vibbs.
What a fucking asshole. Complete asshole.
I love him.
All right, mine's this. It's been a great Tuesday. This Saturday, we're going to have a great time at Lafayette, Indiana. Thanks to AJ Hawk for joining the show. Thanks to at Tactical Digs, at Tom McComas, at Sean Latham, at Nick Brado, at the Jeff Fibbert. We got some things cooking.
It's a big yawn.
We got some people. We got some things cooking right now. $20 Chef is full speed ahead right now. I think you should definitely check it out. The Donut Showcase is a lot of fun, man. Learn about a lot of these small bakeries that are just generating a shit ton of revenue by handing out incredibly tasting things. Diggs has got Degenerate Diggs going. How's your record going?
I am 6-4 on the season.
You're nice. Making people money.
You're winning.
Yeah, we're breaking even.
Now, my college predictions on the Barstool Tailgate Show, I think I am 7-1 in my predictions. Just, I don't know what ESPN is.
Seriously?
I don't know what ESPN does. I don't know what anybody in Fox Sports does. I don't know what anybody does. But here I am, just sitting here, brand new to college football. Don't know a single thing about any of them.
That's huge.
Almost a hundo. Wow.
Is that minus week one?
Week one is the only miss. It was the Ohio State. I picked Ohio State just because I was there. I was trying to be the man of the people.
You can't do it.
I wanted to pick Oklahoma, but I picked the man of the people. So this week at Louisville, I said, Louisville, the home of Papa John's. Louisville Slugger. Woo! Big night, yeah. Clemson wins the night by 20.
Hey.
That's what I said. Burn it down.
And I'm 17-8 in college the last 2 weeks, too. So that's going much better than NFL.
So get on board with Diggs' bets. He tells them on the internet, put your money in a smart place. Big shout out to all the sponsors that kept us around. Todd and Sean and Vibbs and Nick might be coming out with a show here soon that might be pretty good. I'm excited for that. You guys sampled it today. I think it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. Other than that, I hope you guys are all have a great day. We'll see you on Thursday. And I hope one day, you know, you're just living life carefree with all the pollen in the world. Woo!
Woo! It's gotta stop.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor, bro.
Oh, also, if you could send a tweet to at Triple H for me, just asking like, hey, if at Pat McAfee Show somehow gets his cardio together, could he possibly get a workout with NXT? It's just a what if situation that you guys would really be helping me out on. Anyways, let's get back to the goodness. I go psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit. Gotta get jiggy with it. That's it. The honey, come ride. DKNY, all up in my eye. You got a Prada bag with a lot of stuff in it. Give it to your friend, let's spin. Everybody looking at me, glancing a kid. Wishing they was dancing a jig here with this handsome kid. Sick a cigar right from Cuba Cuba. Just bite it. It's for the look, I don't. He don't even light his cigar, bro. Jiggy make it feel like foreplay. Yo, my cardio is infinite. Getting Nick. I didn't want to say Nicky. I didn't want to say it. What? You want the ball with your kid? Watch your step. You might fall trying to do what I did. Yeah. I'ma come close side in the middle of the club with the rubber dub. No love for the haters mad because I got four seats at the Lakers. I just don't understand how you could ever not like that. We'll see you Thursday.